I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our
Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubling, irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish the same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Monday, July 19th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Sorry for the delay to begin there. We're going to get into some censorship discussion today, one of the main topics today. But just as we were getting started, I truly believe there's a lot happening right now that's not just about T-Lab getting censored. As you'll find out, High Impact Flicks was also pulled off PayPal at almost the exact same moment. Clearly, we're on some kind of list. But even as we were getting started, there were so many weird things that were happening right there that I just could not, in regard to StreamYard, that was telling me my internet connection was down, even though it wasn't, and on and on and on. My concern, not to say that I know those things are anything other than just a glitch, is that we need to see the world that's being created. And I've been saying this for a while. If we're going into a world where you can just be knocked off platforms for no verifiable reason, just because they don't like it, because and this isn't even talking about private platforms versus, we are going into a world of these public-private partnerships where the government is completely crossing over with these things. We see it with Facebook, Google, Twitter, all of it. Atlantic Council deciding what's fake news. This is the same concept. So, and the same thing that Caitlin Johnstone's been saying about this, that is state censorship. That's what this is. It's a fascist kind of lean into the kind of, you know, this is the thing we've been saying for a while. When you have corporate entity or corporate concepts crossing over with governmental concepts, that is a tenet of fascism. And that's where we're walking into full steam right now. And so when we're watching this happen, where you have platforms that can potentially control or be choke points in the flow of information to people like you, even if it's independently, like we heard about text messages, where they're going to be censoring your text messages. We need to be like, stop pretending like any of this is completely outside the realm of possibility. If they're willing to censor your personal text messages to your family because they think it's misinformation, there's nothing that they won't do. So as we get into this today, recognize that this is already happening. We are in a situation where they have justified in their minds, at the very least, that we can completely, on its face, overtly step all over the Constitution, even though that's always been happening. Now they're doing it right in front of you, in your face. They're showing you this is happening all because that thing over there is dangerous. That's where we're at right now, even though it's actually not in most cases, or pretty much as far as most people are concerned, not at all, if we're talking about the real comparison in regard to the flu, or in no more, we should say, than the average other things we're dealing with. And this is based on the statistics coming from these very same people. These are the kind of things that we are not allowed to talk about, things that we're being censored for discussing. Now, we're going to go over that to start off today, but it's going to be a normal show. Because as you'll see today, as we go through, regardless of what PayPal did and what others will do, they have no effect on what we're doing. They have zero effect on this show. They can take everything they want and to act like they just did all these things. Nothing changes. I'll be here every day. Every day I do a show, 5 days a week is what I strive for. They won't stop that. I will continue to bring this information to you as often as possible, regardless of what PayPal, Patreon, YouTube, Google, LinkedIn, Tumblr, what did I miss? All the other things that have censored us. Regardless of what any of them will do, we will keep doing this because they can't stop it. And that's what scares them. So today we're going to start off with this topic, the same thing we were just discussing the other day. Now, this is the evolution of that one day later, of course, you know, how they normally do their, you know, rounds of the media saying the same thing over and over in different ways for three days straight, you know, that we all know happens every single time, right? When there's a narrative, they want to spin, this guy will stand up and make his announcement. Then he'll go on CNN, he'll go on Fox News, and he'll go over here and they'll say it all a bunch of different ways. Now, what's the point of that? Isn't the whole point of the White House press briefing that they tell the American people what's happening? Okay, so when they go around and make the rounds, it's because there's propaganda they want you to continue to think about over and over and over and over and over because it's repetition. That's what this is. You're all killing people and anybody not vaccinated is a crazy madman and you're all going to die over and over and over and over. Who cares about facts? Oh, but he's the Surgeon General, so what he says is fact. Well, that's what a lot of people actually think. They don't understand the differentiation between actual data that proves what they're saying, which even then is completely manipulatable because you need to be able to show discernment and realize that anything could be false, deceived, incorrect. But we're watching this and we're watching people hear him and go, that's fact because it was stated by authority. That is what we need to make sure we fight against. Show these people that, well, when you actually look at the data, what he just said is actually not true, or what Jen Psaki just said, or what Kamala Harris just said, or what the CDC director just said, which we'll talk about today, is literally not true based on what's actually on the CDC's website right now. How do you explain that? Because they are already running with the assumption that what they state is the facts, are the facts. So as this State of the Union tweet says, my worry is that all this misinformation is floating around is having a real cost that can be measured in lives lost. And that is just tragic. It's exactly what we told you was going to happen. Now, let's be very clear. What I am doing is stating or relaying information of peer-reviewed science and showing you what it says and giving you my opinion. And that's not to say that there are people, to put it this way, on the internet, on YouTube, on places that are completely crazy out there spreading all kinds of unfounded, ridiculous things, and they have every right to do so. Period. But doesn't mean that those people are the same thing as what I'm doing. I'm not trying to say that I'm better or worse or anything else. What I'm saying is I'm very careful and objective about what I do. Doesn't mean I can't make mistakes, but it means that this is in my opinion, you won't find this on the mainstream media because they're not objective on the mainstream media. They're reporting a very slanted, and we all seem to know that and kind of don't care. I'll just pick this side and, you know, I'll go look at the other side tomorrow and then we'll just, no, that doesn't work. So when they're censoring, when they're saying they're censoring misinformation, what they're doing is censoring things like me, as well as somebody else out there spreading. But you know what? As far as I can tell, they're not really censoring crazy things out there. If I wanted to go out there and say this vaccine turns you into an animal, they probably wouldn't censor that, would they? But when I show you peer-reviewed science that proves what they're saying is at the very least contested by other experts, that becomes misinformation because I'm proving what I'm saying. I'm sourcing what I'm saying. Now, if this ever ends up in a court of law somehow, if there's any justice left in this broken system, well, people will get to point this stuff out and say, look, here's why I said what I said, and here's why it's backed up what I said. And if any actual jury of peers were to look at it, they will obviously, he said, what the science was reporting. So how can that be misinformation? Here's a question for you guys. How can something be misinformation, disinformation, if it's unverified? Really think about and digest that for a second. We're literally talking about, for instance, Jen Psaki says, well, no, there's no proof of reproductivity issues. There's no evidence of that. So we're going to therefore censor people arguing that it's possible. Okay, well, couldn't they there also be correct? Well, yes. And by clearly based on their own data, they are correct. But that's a different discussion. My point is, she's saying there's no evidence of reproductivity or issues in reproductivity, which means we haven't proved it one way or the other, but yet they're censoring people who are discussing that possibility. I'm clear. I hope you see where I'm going with this. So anything that is not their narrative is censored because it's not proven yet, but they're willing to theorize about all sorts of things this vaccine could do and what they might be doing tomorrow, because that's called hypocrisy. That's a double standard. Listen to what he has to say here.
President Biden did accuse social media platforms of killing people. Do you think conservative media like Fox News are doing the same? Are they killing people too?
Yeah, because that's not a loaded, obvious partisan question that's completely unjournalistic, right? But the point is, Biden didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Biden thought he was being queued up to hit the, you know, get it. What's the setup for the spike, right? Biden, what's happening? They're killing people, right? He knew he had to come up and say they're killing people. He was talking about people spreading disinformation because he knew that was the talking point. But when they were all screaming, what do you have the Facebook to say? He didn't even probably hear what they were saying. Nobody believed that Biden was saying, the whole point was that people spreading misinformation are killing people and that Facebook has to do something about that. Now they're just pretending like he's saying, this is the ridiculous nature of this completely subjective argument. Now we have to realize we're at a point now where people are being told that their opinions are killing people. Opinions. How can we even look at that next to the idea of free speech and pretend like we still have free speech? As always, there's no caveats to it, even though they've been trying to do that forever. That's what the whole hate speech thing was all about.
Frederick, like you just heard.
Well, then I think all of us, including the media, including individuals, health professionals, have a responsibility to share the truth about health as science dictates, as science informs us. And, you know, unless we do that, unless we are honest about the content.
Now, listen, think about what he just said.
Health as science dictates, as science informs us.
As science informs us. Is there some group called science? Right? Is there a guy named John Science over there telling us what's going on? No. Science is not an object. Science is not a feed of data that comes at us at one time. Scientific research is a body of constantly evolving information. He knows that. I know he knows that. This is about controlling the idea and pretending like they are the gatekeepers of science and all we have to do is wait for them to dole out what science told us to do. That's crazy. That's scientism. Scientism. And now the point is, this is what real science is. And I've shown you this before. Denny Rancourt, an actual scientist, a very highly credentialed scientist, a respected scientist. Do not trust science. Practice valid scientific methods, period. Actual science never asks to be trusted. Science asks you to think independently and always be willing to re-examine. That's all. Right. So isn't it funny that this is what's being censored? We're over here going, think for yourselves, guys. Ask questions. Do your due diligence. Research. Oh, fake news. You're killing people. Right? Because that's what we're saying. This is a nutshell of what everything that we're doing. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm not telling you not to get injected. I'm telling you should have a choice. I've been saying that from the very beginning. My opinion is, yes, it's a dangerous thing that's clearly not researched and I think has much more going on around it. But I've never faltered from the day one of saying it should be your choice. But that's censorable to them? The objective discussion about whether you should have a right and whether your constitutional rights actually matter and the chaotic situation of a fake pandemic? I mean, this is the crazy part about this. Now, obviously, those are my opinions based on the information we presented. But if you believe for one second that a pandemic that only affects people over 80 by and large and in the numbers underneath that, if you can look at on the CDC's website, are lower than other things we've dealt with, such as the flu. I mean, you're continuing to trust the narrative versus the data. The very people telling you to trust the science, ignoring the information that it's frustrating. But this is my point. This is what real science looks like. This is what a real scientist looks like. So here's somebody going, we need to just listen to what science tells us. That is the most ignorant reduction of what scientific research is. He knows that, but this is scientism.
To share the truth about health as science dictates, as science informs us. And
right, so it's the truth about health, but when they want it to, it's always evolving, right? So how can it be the truth that dictates? He used the word dictate, right? So that's an absolute, except tomorrow it may evolve. So it really wasn't then the truth. You were wrong then. You don't get to be kind of right today and then we're writing also tomorrow, even though it's completely different, right? This is not being nitpicky. This is exact. Like the point is they're trying to pretend like what they state today is the truth and it can't be altered and you'll be censored if you say it otherwise, except it might evolve and change tomorrow. That's not a joke. That's actually their argument. And they're going to censor you because us being able to discuss whether they could be wrong is killing people.
You know, unless we do that, unless we are honest about the consequences of our communication with people, unless we are rigorous about ensuring that what we communicate is actually sourced from science and not from opinion on critical issues like the vaccine.
Oh, you mean like peer-reviewed science from the British Medical Journal, peer-reviewed science from The Lancet, peer-reviewed random controlled trials from every other outlet that you keep telling us to listen to that we continue to point to after everything we say? Right. But they keep pretending like what I'm doing is a bunch of fringe, conspiracy theory opinion. You're all going to die and microchips and Bill Gates and we're all going to blah, 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 right? That's what they kind of frame it as. Not that there's not valid points within all of that, but it's just like with what happened in plenty of things in the past with discussions of Hillary Clinton in a pizza basement, right? It's trying to reduce it down to a ridiculous narrative that gets jammed through by a bunch of people that believe it and people that I know don't just to share it because that gives the reductive idea. Then when you point back to, let's say, Hillary Clinton getting off Laura Silsby from trafficking children from Haiti, which was open discussed, even Chuck Todd covered it on NBC, becomes, oh, that's Pizzagate fake news. Simple as that. That is how that works. You can look it up tomorrow. You can look up the article on my website right now. Just type in Laura Silsby on The Last American Vagabond. You'll find the entire, even Chuck Todd's discussion of it. But when you mention that today, well, it's complete fake news because of the reductive narrative. That's what they're doing here. That's what they will always do.
Then we are going to ultimately put people at risk. And that is my great worry, Dana. There are people all across our country, and I hear from folks all the time, who are struggling to make decisions about their health. After this very difficult year we've been through, people deserve to have access to accurate information. They deserve to hear that from their leaders. They deserve to hear that from the media. They deserve to see that on platforms online.
Yeah, I agree. And you know where the information that's not correct is coming from? The government. But regardless of that, I'm not calling for the government to be censored. The point is that I believe that grown-ups that you're talking about, like children, completely have the ability to discern the truth for themselves. And all you're doing is painting them as a bunch of mindless idiots who can barely tie their shoes. But that's what they want you to see. Sure, there's plenty of those in this country. There's plenty of those around the world. But I don't believe for a second that that's what you are watching this show. I don't believe for a second that everybody around you is like that. They want you to believe that, period. They want you to think everyone's just too stupid. And all these crazy conspiracy theorists that are somehow so good at what they're doing, they're overtaking the entire health apparatus, yet simultaneously fringe idiots in their basements are somehow doing this. That they're the ones that are controlling the whole narrative and they're killing these people by tricking them into fake information. It's just so comically stupid when you walk through what they're actually telling you. How can we be both things at once? How is it possible that these fringe idiots in their mother's basement are completely tricking everybody in America? 51% of the country is still unvaccinated and they pretend it's because they don't have the information. Are you telling me they somehow missed the 30,000 things you're throwing at them every second? Seriously? And yet my show once a day somehow overcomes that? So you censor me? That's what they really want you to believe. I don't believe that anybody believes that. I think that they're drowning in their lies. And that's why they're censoring people like me and High Impact Flicks and everybody else before us that's been censored on PayPal and everywhere else.
And that they need that information to be able to make decisions to protect themselves and their families. That's the least we can do for them. And my worry is that all this is misinformation that's floating around is having a real cost that can be measured in lives lost. And that is just tragic.
In lives lost. Right. So how exactly can you measure, I've said this before, ask yourself how in the world you can quantify that. So you're arguing that these people, you've quantified that the people that can be measured in lives lost. How exactly can you measure how somebody chose not to get injected? And you're claiming they're dead, right? So somebody dies. How do you figure out, one, what their thought process was in regard to the injection after they're dead? Do you talk to their family? Are we going to just take at face value what they thought their child? I mean, you realize how stupid that is? So we know how these people made up their mind. How about they just didn't want to get injected? How about they never did? How about they're a complete anti-vaxxer and they've never gotten one their entire life? Or how about they just realized, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and wait until this thing gets actually processed, actually safety tested like we normally do, you know? How about any of those things? How about another 30,000 possibilities? How about I'm a religious exemption? How about anything other than that one thing they're telling you all of this is? And there's no possible way they could know how that person made their choice after they've died and they're pretending they're just adding it all up. 99.2% of all these people, BS. Nobody has proven that. I have continued to say that, and we continue to hear them cite this 99% despite Israel and Malta and all these other places, Gibraltar, showing you high vaccination rates, high mask mandates, and worse than anywhere in the world, really. They're showing you the real world data. Israel is showing you that right now they're lying to you in the United States. If they wanted to prove to you that 99%, that would be constantly everywhere. The data, the sources, the studies would be in your face every 10 seconds, just like all the lies they say about their foreign policy. Oh, we can prove that Iran did this. Oh, show us the data. Oh, it's national security. Yeah, right. If you could prove that they did that, you would be shoving it in our face for the next 30 years straight to make your point. This is where we are right now. They don't know what they're saying, and they're pretending they are. Measured in lives lost. Well, really, what we're seeing, by and large, is an exponential decrease in all the things they're telling us are problems. All they're pointing to is that the numbers that are there are all unvaccinated, except no one has yet proven that. And what we are seeing in other places is the exact opposite, which, by the way, is what I've shown you in very recent shows, probably why we continue to be censored. Do not trust science. Practice valid scientific methods, period. Actual science never asks to be trusted, because science is never settled. That's ignorant. A real scientist would laugh out loud when they said that. But as Derek points out, here's the Fox News article he's referencing, Surgeon General. Like, as they're saying that they, you know, it's about people out there spreading misinformation, Facebook's efforts to combat this is not enough. Right. So the fact that Facebook has basically become a government entity along with the rest of them is not enough. What's enough exactly? Right. You're already censoring people. So what's enough? You know where this is going. This is going to real world action. We've already seen this in other parts of the world. Other countries have already deemed certain things actual crime. Like, you can go to prison. You can actually, there's real actions for just simply stating something online. As Derek points out, in regard to the internet, it's going to keep coming until they wipe us off the internet. They're trying right now. I believe it's going to keep going until they can make the argument that Biden and everyone else has already laid the table for, that telling you this peer-reviewed science says the opposite of what they're telling you is now literally, hate crime, violence, domestic terrorism. That's where this is going. We can't let that happen. Now, this brings us to the censorship of today, which you might have seen me tweet about. We knew this was coming, but this is just, it's just comical how petty, childish, and unaccountable this is. Hashtag boycott PayPal. Now, I don't know why. I mean, I think the only reason that we stuck with it for the time being was just because there's so many people that were using it. There's a lot of you out there that had recurring payments, and that's exactly why they try to attack this. They try to attack it because they're desperate to stop what we're doing. They want to stop the influence that we have on the information, and they're trying to stop the resources. They're trying to cut out from under us. But you know what? It's not going to stop. You're not going to do this. Has zero effect on what we're doing, PayPal. They're just petty sycophants. They are completely pandering to the oligarchy. But that's nothing new. They're part of the oligarchy. PayPal is part of the problem. So now it's just probably a blessing in disguise, just like all the rest of it. T-Lab is going to keep going. So all I ask everybody out there that's been using PayPal is, if you choose to and you still find what we're doing valuable, find another way. I'll go over some options in a minute. Our P.O. box is probably the most obvious, but there's some other options out there. But we're never going to stop. So if you really want to continue supporting this platform, continue to support it in other ways you can, including on Super U, which I might as well just show now since we're also streaming on there right now. For those that haven't seen Super U, here's the platform. I don't want to have the sound start. So here is, because it's my stream, it's not showing the tip button. But right now, for those on this watching this, there's a tip button down there. It's a one-time tip. We're very close to adding a recurring tip. So everybody that's been using PayPal, jump over to SuperU. Now, very shortly, you'll be able to do a $1 a month just like you did over there. You don't need PayPal. You don't need Patreon. SuperU will make them obsolete. That's the plan anyway. And we're also going to get to all sorts of other payment options. We're even talking about cryptocurrency additions. We have everything coming this way. But this is where you should go if you want to continue to do so, because SuperU is built for this exact purpose, to help keep the funding going to people like us and help stop the censorship. This was built as a barrier between you and the censorship. Now, going back to the point, let me read you what it says here. This is really crazy. This is, and which I'll point out again in a minute. Brian from High Impact Flicks called me earlier and was, you know, just, we were baffled by, what would it break down to? We were like 10 minutes apart. They censored both of us from PayPal in the exact same way. So we're both well aware that this puts us, we're on a list somewhere. Just like the 12 disinformation dozen nonsense from this Center for Digital Hate, there's probably plenty more. Somebody actually contacted me and said, hey, what they believe is happening is that all these activists out there fighting against hate speech online have now been like basically redirected towards misinformation, or what they claim is misinformation. So now they're all coming after people that are out there spreading truthful facts about what's going on, or at the very least objective information around it. But in their minds, literally anything that challenges the narrative is fake news. Like I told you, because authority said, didn't you hear the Surgeon General? So what you're saying is fake news. I don't want to see the science, but trust the science though, right? That's what's happening. So they're all coming after everybody. And the fact that Brian and I got hit right after each other pretty much makes it clear that this is something coordinated. But as it says, well, you can't use PayPal anymore. Well, that's great. After a review of your account activity. Okay, well, right out of the gate, there is no account activity other than people donating. Just so it's clear, this is a complete donation-only account. There's nothing else going on. People donate, it goes to PayPal, or goes to TLAV for TLAV, for everything. For the work that I do, for the writers, for everything, right? Everything you do, every cent goes to TLAV, period. So if that's the only thing happening, I'm not selling materials, goods, I'm not working with other groups, nothing. There's no crossover. It's a stagnant donate location. That's it. So how did I violate something? I don't choose who donates. It's a public link. Anybody can jump on. So because some guy donated from over there in a country that you don't like, now I'm the problem. This is obviously that's ridiculous. And they know that's ridiculous. So all they're doing, in my opinion, and I'm sure it's pretty obvious, this is the accurate point, is that they censored this because of politics. Because I am doing things outside of PayPal on my show, which has no discernible connection to PayPal other than the donations that then get used to make this stuff. That they don't just like Patreon. They don't like what you're doing over there. Well, you have no right to tell me what I can do over there, PayPal. You're PayPal. But they do, though. Or they're doing it, though, I mean. They're coming over and they're saying, your content on The Last American Vagabond and on Twitter and wherever else, we don't like it and we don't agree with it. So we're going to bump you off this and pretend that we've determined that you're in violation of this acceptable use policy, which, by the way, applies to PayPal. Great. So they're making a subjective, petty, personal choice based on something that has no bearing on what I've done outside of this. And also, which Brian saw the same thing, which is hilarious. I'm like, oh, okay, let's look at their acceptable use policy and let's take a look at what I did wrong. Oh, well, just I don't want to go through this process just in case, but if I go to log in is the point, and it brings me back to this page. I'm not joking. So I click on the link. Every link in this takes you back to this page. Why? Because you can't use PayPal anymore because you've been removed. So how exactly do I ever find out what went wrong? Well, I'll tell you what they're telling me to do. I'll play the discussion I had with the woman. But it says, as a result, your account has been, and we both had a laugh at this, permanently limited. Well, that's pretty dumb. Limited implies not entirely. Permanently implies entirely. So you guys are pretty stupid. But the point is, this is the same thing they're doing everywhere else. This is Patreon, Twitter, whatever else. They go, we have indefinitely suspended you because they're cowards and they don't want to stand behind their actions because they know this is kind of a legal gray area right now. So what they do is they permanently limit you. So if anything down the line becomes some kind of weird, you know, they can go, oh, he's right there, put him right back. We didn't really delete him, so we didn't violate anything, right? Because deleting you based on something that doesn't violate your policies, as much as I highly doubt they'll ever actually be held accountable for that, could happen that way. Somebody could sue and prove that they violated their own policies. So that's why they go, we'll suspend you forever. God, that's petty. I mean, these are children we're dealing with. Permanently limited, and you won't be able to conduct any further business using PayPal. Good. Who cares? We don't need your garbage platform. This is, think about how dumb it is that it's just a platform where you can send money. Well, there's a lot of other things that incorporate that now today, that you don't need a platform that only sends money. That was cool when it first started. We're way past that now. Patreon, PayPal, these are done, archaic old thing. Not just because they censored us, but because they're limited. Now it says this is permitted under the PayPal agreement sections, restricted activities and actions we may take, which again, I can't look at. Cool. You must remove all reference. I love this part. You must remove all references from PayPal to your website or auctions, including removing PayPal as a payment option, PayPal logo. How about no? How about never? You know, of course, I'm removing it because screw PayPal, but like they have the power to do that. screw you. I'm gonna put a huge PayPal logo right on my website and be like, screw PayPal. Just to make a point, but not really. But it says any bank or credit card information linked to your PayPal account cannot be removed. That's a little crazy. So they forever have access to your bank account? Yep. That sounds great. Everybody out there who is concerned, maybe you want to run screaming from PayPal right now. Nor can it be used to create a new account. You can still log in, see your account information, but you can't send or receive funds. If you have funds in your PayPal balance, which I do because that's my bank, I don't use anything else. Well, that's not technically true, but in regard to this context, we'll hold it for up to 180 days. Great. So they seize all your money, don't tell you what you did, and then say these funds may be used to satisfy any obligations you may have under the user agreement. What exactly would that mean? Obligations I may have under the user agreement? So some fine print at the bottom of this thing that has nothing to do with my actions? You'll see what it means. And the acceptable use policy, guess what? Including potential liabilities to third parties and to PayPal for each violation of the accountable use policy. They haven't even told me what I did. So how am I ever going to verify if that's even correct? How about they say, well, we're going to go ahead and chart. It looks like you did 300,000 different violations. So we're just going to take all your money. Yeah, you know what? That's what happens. I've already spoken to four people who said they never got anything back, never got a response, never got a response from the email. They just lost their money, it's over. And that's what I can probably promise you is going to happen here. I'll keep you updated, including liabilities. So again, it's a one-way account, donations only. That's it. And somehow I have multiple potential liabilities to third parties and PayPal for being the last American vagabond. That's what they're saying. This is thought crime, guys. This is literally thought crime. They're taking money that you donated to this platform and paying themselves because of things that I did that hurt their feelings. Things that I said, apparently, completely disconnected from PayPal. Not only is this unaccountable, wrong, petty, disgusting, this is literally illegal. I mean, think about as if your bank account, because it's the same thing. Let's say your bank calls you, emails you, and says, hey, we're going to take all your money. We're not going to tell you why. We're going to keep it for 6 months and maybe give it back, but we might pay ourselves for things that you did that we're not going to tell you about. That's crazy. There's literally no accountability. As I say, you'll hear my message. As I say, even in the U.S. justice system, I have the right to face my accuser. Like, you guys are just completely unaccountable. They know that. They don't care. It says, including liquidated damages. Liquidated damages. What are we talking about right now? After that period, we'll email you with information on how to access the funds. So I just have to wait that long until they maybe tell me what's left, if anything, and then I can do something about it. If there are chargebacks that result in your account balance falling below zero, you'll need to settle the amount. So how about they go, well, we needed it to settle all these third-party problems, and we paid ourselves because you hurt our feelings. Now you owe us even more on top of what we stole because it went to zero, and then we had more. Because that was the extra 200 violations that we didn't tell you. This is unbelievable. And again, how do I ever verify that actually went to where? I mean, how do I verify anything they said? Unbelievable. This is just so unaccountable. This is the point I made in the beginning. This isn't just PayPal, guys. This is everything tied to these entities, and they are cracking down hard because they're trying to create what we are trying to stop, and they're desperate. As I said on Twitter, I was just permanently banned on PayPal for no stated reason other than the undefined gesture towards its acceptable use policy. I can no longer see. This is an account that only takes incoming donations, so how exactly did I violate anything? As I said, they also stole thousands. That was all for TLAV writers, salaries, interviews, rent, office rent, new projects, etc. But if you think for one second that I was dumb enough to leave all our eggs in one basket, you don't know me that well. Just a pebble in the road, PayPal, you pathetic sycophants. And I mean that, guys. This doesn't mean anything. It's irritating that they're able to get away with this, that they're able to steal your money that you donated to the last American vagabond, which should bother you. But it doesn't mean anything. It's just money. We're going to keep going. It really, might as well just be it's not even a pebble in the road. Look, the same day, here we are, broadcasting, keeping it going. That's the point. Now, the last part, I thought this was important to add. I've been wanting to do this for a minute now. I swear I'm missing something. Please, in the chat, if you remember what else. So these are platforms that I've been removed from when verifiably not violating their policies. And I mean that, by the way. Like, this is because all they can say is misinformation. There's nobody anywhere who can actually intelligently argue that what I'm doing is misinformation if I'm pointing to peer-reviewed, random controlled trials, peer-reviewed science, and simply saying this is something you should consider. There's no way you can argue that's misinformation, especially when some of these things they're saying is misinformation has yet to be defined. If we don't know for sure, it's not misinformation. It's what it could be one way or the other. This is like them saying VAERS. It's unverified. So that means it's misinformation when you say those people died. Well, no, it could be right and it could be wrong. You saying that it's not is the same as me saying that it is. Why is one okay and one not? Obviously, you can see that point because they're erring on the side of their narrative and they're censoring people that say what I think is actually what's happening, but that's my opinion. And I'm always clear to say that. But platforms I've been removed from when verifiably not violating their policies, Patreon, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube three different times. Apple Podcasts. People keep telling me that today. It's been going on forever. You can literally go and search for T-Lab, even though like there's basically people that have continued to be subscribed. You still get notifications. It's very strange. I'll bring up my Apple Podcasts and you'll see it on there. But you go to their thing and search for T-Lab, Last American Fact, nothing comes up. You go to try to like add things to subscribe or it just goes error. It's there though, but it's not though, because they're censoring petty children. D-Live. Already censoring me, guys. I've been saying this from the beginning. As much as I probably have 100-something people watching on DLive right now, they censor. I am not allowed to accept donations on DLive. They force me down to an X-rated channel, despite the fact that nothing I'm doing, even closely, is defined as X-rated. They pretend that it's all news. It's not, though. You can see news on their platform right now that's not under X-rated. I don't do anything X-rated. I'm not saying anything. I'm not cussing. This is a family-friendly show. It's simply data. And DLive has deemed that unacceptable. So DLive is part of the problem. Still going to use everything I can because I'm trying to reach everybody I can. But there's more. I'm sure there is. Remind me if I forget. Oh, somebody mentions Brighteon. I never confirmed that, by the way. There was an issue there. Try to search for me on Brighteon. It doesn't come up. No one ever explained it for me. I reached out to them. They said, oh, it was an issue with the search bar. It never changed. And I'm like, I could search for everybody else. So I just left it. I just, you know, got to do what you got to do. But anyway, moving on. The censorship is unparalleled. And my point earlier was that High Impact Flicks is doing the same thing. And I were hit with High Impact Flicks and I were hit with the exact same thing at the exact same time, save for 5 to 10 minutes. And as he says today, another round of economic terrorism came closer to home. PayPal permanently eliminated. It's the exact same message. His account and is holding his balance hostage for 180 days. Same thing happened to me. It's crazy, guys. It is really crazy. Now, I want you to listen to this. We're going to listen to what the conversation was. And I want you to listen to how interestingly this changes. I wish I would have caught the beginning of it. She answers like they always do, though. I'm sure you can picture it. You know, super happy, nice. Hey, PayPal, thanks for calling. How can I help you? Really kind. But the moment she comes back after looking into what's going on, it's almost as if a different person answered. And she's completely unwilling to dive into any information other than very broad, vague information. Take a listen.
Sir, so I definitely do apologize. I took a look at everything. It looks like it's stating our acceptable use policy was violated, so they did go ahead and permanently restrict your account, and any funds in the account are held for 180 days.
Well, she says permanently restrict, by the way. I guess restrict and limit's kind of the same thing. It's just they're careful with the way they say these things.
Yeah, I read as much on the notice they sent. So after 10 years of use with this company, and, you know, treating me as a high-level client with this funds now and all this, there's not even a notification. Hey, there's a thing, there's a problem.
Right. I just want to add, what I mean by that is, you know, when you've got a certain amount of funds in there, thousands of dollars, I guess, they treat you like you're a high-level client, right? You call in and they go, oh, we'll expedite your call right away because you have funds now or whatever, right? And there's a lot of, they send you different things. And they, you know, not like it's that special, but they just do. They act like you're important to them right up until they steal all your money, you know?
How about we rectify the problem? No, on all this, there's not even a notification. Hey, there's a thing, there's a problem. How about we rectify the problem?
Right. And what I'm saying is, you know, they can't even send you something. Like if they really cared about your business and it wasn't a political action, they'd reach out and be like, hey, we see some really weird things here. You know, can you give us some information? Like, is this you? Did your account get hijacked? right? I mean, your bank, something happens to your bank and they will reach out 30 different ways to be like, your accounts, but you compromised. We're concerned. It might be compromised, right? PayPal, nothing. One little blip and you're deleted for lifetime. No, only when there's a political effort. That's when this is happening.
Problem. How about we rectify the problem? No, just delete, gone. Can you explain that for me? They would have contacted me and said, it looks like there's a problem with this very well-established long-term account we've had. Right?
Yeah. So when you sign up for PayPal, when you agree to our terms and agreements, if they find anything that violates that, they don't have to get a warning because you've already.
I'm not discussing.
So they can't just go ahead and restrict the account.
Right. I'm not discussing whether they have to do it. What I'm saying is clearly, as a company that likes to take care of their customers, if that was what PayPal was, they would have contacted me and said, hey, there's a discrepancy here. Can we maybe they made a mistake? Nope. Just complete immediate deletion. And that is obvious what's actually going on. Right? I mean, this is crazy. This is unbelievably ridiculous. And I know it's not your choice, but do you feel that this is okay?
I have no comment.
Of course you don't, because there's much more happening here than some little discrepancy in the leash.
I have no comment. Like, am I crazy or is that really interesting? I mean, what is it, a court of law? Clearly there's something going. I mean, they're coached on how this is supposed to be discussed. I have no comment means that you have to be very careful about what you say because these people, I mean, that doesn't happen that way if there's not some very careful action taking place. Man, I find that to be incredibly telling.
This is unbelievably ridiculous. And I know it's not your choice, but do you feel that this is okay?
I have no comment.
Of course you don't. Because there's much more happening here than some little discrepancy in the leash of account. You're clearly being given instruction about how to handle these things. That's why you have no comment. I mean, what other information can you give me?
Unfortunately, all the information I gave you is all the information I have.
Which was what?
Your account was restricted.
Why?
Youth policy being violated.
Okay, what policy did I violate?
The information I gave you is the information I have. It's the same information
in the
email.
Right, so
can
I talk to you to find out what policy I violate? You're telling me I don't have a right to know what I did wrong?
You can send an email to AUP@paper.com. This particular department does not take phone calls.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Take note, by the way, that she continues to cut my end of my sentence off. Right? Like, she's talking over me every time. I'm not even done talking. Just, I make that point for what's about to happen.
Your account was restricted.
Why?
Youth policy being violated.
Okay, what policy did I violate?
The information I gave you is the information I have. It's the same information
in
the email.
Right, so can I talk to you to find out what policy I violate? You're telling me I don't have a right to know what I did wrong?
You can send an email to AUP@paper.com. This particular department does not take phone calls.
Oh, that's fantastic. So there's no way for me to find out, and that's just all good, it's over? Right?
Excuse me, I'm talking. Let me finish, and then I'll let you finish.
You're busted online. I just think that's hilarious. Like, clearly, I was in the middle of a sentence, and she jumped over it, and then, no, it was me. You're wrong. Somebody's rewriting history in real time.
I was trying to let you know how to contact him.
In the U.S. justice system, I have the right to meet my accuser. Like, you're telling me that PayPal just doesn't even...
She laughed at that, by the way. She thought that was hilarious.
I have no laws in the same regard. Like, I can't find out what I did wrong to delete the account. Like, that's absurd.
And you can email them at AUP@paypal.com and ask them.
I can ask them. I'll ask them tomorrow.
Got it. And how often do they return those? Because I can tell you right now, I know of at least 4 people that have never heard back.
Exactly. And that's the point. I know people that have already gone through this process and they had money that they never saw back. They never even got a response from the damn email.
I'm not sure their email queue. I don't work in that department.
Got it. Okay. So what do I do?
You can send an email to them, but we don't have anything else we can do. Unfortunately, your account is now restricted.
Okay. So you're taking my money and you're going to divvy it up a bunch a bunch of other random things that aren't verified on the email sent or the information you sent, where they just could maybe use it to deal with third parties should there be discrepancies. That's fantastic. That's just completely unaccountable and absolutely unacceptable. And I know you know that. I know you know that. I know anybody else in regard. So imagine you woke up tomorrow and your bank said, hey, we just took everything for some just problem that we're not going to tell you about. We'll get back to you in 4 months and maybe you can get the money back unless we gave it to somebody else. Would you be okay with that?
I understand that you're upset and I definitely do apologize. Are there any other questions regarding your account?
I'm asking my account right now. I'm talking about my account. I'd like to know whether you would be okay with that if this happened to you.
That is a personal question. That's not regarding your account. So do you have any question regarding your account?
I do. As the agent that I'm speaking to in regard to the PayPal account, right? The PayPal account that just closed my account based on no justifiable reason that I can't see. As an agent of PayPal, what would you do? I'm asking you as an agent of PayPal, not personal. What would you do? Because I need your guidance.
I would follow the steps provided.
You follow the steps provided. You'd wait 4 months to find out what to do with the money that's running your business that you need to feed your family. That's what you would do? You just wait 4 months?
I would send an email to the email I provided you with.
Right. And then just hope they get back to you.
If you would also like, I can give you our legal address. So if you have anything else regarding your account, I can help you with, or else I'm going to disconnect the call.
I'm asking you a business question as a PayPal agent. Are you going to hang up on me?
That's not a business question.
Yeah, I'm asking you as an agent of this company, what would you do in this situation as an agent?
And I just told you what I would do, but it looks like we're not talking about your account. So I can give you our legal address. I can give you the email address. Would you like that?
No, go ahead and send it to me. Email them to me, please.
Okay.
And she hangs up on me right there.
Okay. So what do I do next?
Obviously, I'm trying to force something like that. My point is that she was done. She was done. She was like, she hung up on me right there. Obviously, I'm asking the same question, but that's crazy. The fact that it's over for her, right? Like, we are done because there's clearly something, there's a very limited amount of information that's allowed to be stated. This is so unaccountable and criminal in every possible way. But you know what? It's not worth it. Screw these people. This is the kind, I mean, look, if there was some action that could be taken to make this happen, to sue them or make this, you know, the bottom line would be that it takes more effort to go through that process than it's worth it right now. It's just money. Screw them. They're thieves. They're criminals. But every moment that we take away from that is what they want. You know what I'm going to do instead? I'm going to double down and work twice as hard and make 7 shows a week and continue to push this out despite their ridiculous petty action. That's what we're going to do. That is how we beat them. One last thing I want to show you is something I forgot to play a few days ago. This is much shorter, but I thought this was really interesting because Comcast on the phone admitted to me that the issues that we've been having are completely crazy. And they go, that's crazy. Listen to what he says about timeouts and issues with this line. There's something happening here, guys. And I'm telling you, even they were like baffled at something that was happening and it was some external problem.
So I want to understand this again just so... So you're saying, so what was the July 1st point? I don't understand that. So just after July 1st, it just suddenly stopped working?
We're talking about my cable connection. After July 1st, something just changed.
That's when I'm starting to see the issues. So what I'm looking at, it showed me a snapshot of signal issues that may be going on the account or whatever's happening, just like timeouts, things like that. I'm not seeing anything. It gives me a 7-day snapshot from the tool that I was using. Uh-huh. Before the 1st, I don't see any troubles. I don't see anything timing out. On the 1st itself, that's when I start to see timeouts happening during out the day, where it's saying there's been about 400 timeouts here, 200 there.
400 timeouts there, 200 timeouts there, on a dime. What happened after July 1st? Feel free to put some meaning to that. I don't really know. On July 1st, all of a sudden, 400 timeouts, 200 timeouts, and boom, 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 out of nowhere. And nobody seems to be able to figure out what's going on. I had a guy come out and they go, I don't know. Clearly something's happening. These are choke points, guys. In my opinion, feel quite certain that there's malicious action. This guy was completely confused about this.
Wow. That tells me right off the bat that there's something messing with the signal. There may be a damaged line.
Nope.
Something is causing that. And especially if you're getting slow download speeds and upload speeds are fine.
Right. Right.
Connectivity right. somewhere is messed up.
Right. And the point is, and that wasn't actually what's happening, though. Both upload and download being affected. He was just making a point about something else we talked about. But we checked it. They came out, checked it. The line was perfect. There was no issue with the line. So what he's saying is that's what it should have been. So something else is causing this externally to break down the connection only after July 1st and only during my show. That's also what we figured out. I mean, it's pretty interesting to me what's really going on here.
Well, I mean, my upload's not, though. That's also the thing. I mean, that's
what's weird about it.
Right.
Yeah, because the streaming in general is what's cutting out. The download wouldn't affect that. Like, I'll be on an active live stream, and it just drops out. And, you know, that's because of my thing clicking on, right? It clicks on, pulls everything down mm-hmm. to whatever, and that's because of the problem you're pointing at. So what's interesting to me, though, is that was just addressed the last time somebody came out. So that means between that time and July 1st, something weird happens, right?
Exactly.
Something's going on. Yeah.
It's very strange. Okay. Well, so what do we do exactly?
I'm going to schedule a technician to come out there, putting in the notes that your connection pro keeps clicking on and off. I'm showing tons of signal issues. I'm going to put the date that I'm seeing them from and see if there's anything that they can do about it, because something at the physical location is causing an issue.
That's interesting.
Is that common?
It happens. I wouldn't say common, but I do, working here, I see it happen every so often.
Right. So it's not common. We don't know what it is. It's a physical problem here at the location that we can't see. By the way, the Connection Pro thing he's talking about is something that's just basically, it's like a backup. And that was what, and we ruled that out as well. They came out, we actually completely removed that from the situation, and it's still happening. So something funky's happening that's dropping out our stream during the shows and so on. I mean, there's just so much of this, guys, and it's unbelievable. Now, you know what? Everything could be a big glitch for all we know. But the point is that as we step into this technocratic future, this is what we're going to see. This is not going to be, do you realize they're right now saying this is what should already be happening? These people right now are saying we need to just, Facebook's not doing enough. Well, what's the next step? This is the next step. This is what you're seeing. PayPal removing you, Comcast stopping your stream. This is what we're seeing. I mean, what's the next logical step? What can Facebook do more? They need to take it up a notch. You need to go to the hosting platforms, go to the cable companies. That's what's happening. Pretty interesting. Now, if you want to continue to support this platform, there's a few ways that you can. Buy me a coffee is one of these we did. Now, look, I don't know if any of these are any better right now. Buy me a coffee, Subscribestar, and they seem to be okay. Nonetheless, the point is that if you want to continue supporting it, this is an option that can change. You could move, you know, use this for now. It's same kind of thing, 1, 2, 5, 10 a month kind of scenario. We have Subscribestar, which is a Patreon scenario kind of a thing that seems to be doing fine. They haven't had any hassle there. We also have my Cash App is one that you could use. Here's the information for that. $TLAVagabond. Venmo, by the way, which I don't know how to include that. I forgot it. You know, that was only on Venmo, but just, I guess you could look it up. But the bottom line, guys, is that right now, Super U is the most obvious choice. Super U is where you should go. Donate a tip if you want to do it. You can do it every day. You can do it 30 times a day. Nothing will stop you. It's completely going to me. There's nothing in its way because it's an honest platform that's completely transparent about what it's doing. And I know that because I was involved with its creation, not financially tied to it, but completely involved and still am in the direction that it's taking because I care about it. I care about the people involved with it. I care about what they're trying to accomplish. So it's time to move to places like this. I think that's pretty clear. Now, what I want again to reiterate here is that recognize that nothing has changed. Their censorship, their control of the funds they took, it doesn't matter. It sucks. It's irritating that they can do it. But again, we're here, continuing. It won't stop. They have zero effect on the outcome of this show. No matter what they take, no matter what they censor, they can't stop this. And that drives them crazy. So recognize that, because we're going to keep going. Now, moving over on more censorship topics, I found this to be pretty interesting, as Denny Rancourt points out. These are the brilliant minds that run the social engineering in Canada. Heritage Minister says free speech online undermines democracy. That is so, this is actually the where we are in talking points, though, as if free speech and the illusion of the democracy we pretend we're shooting for are completely different things, right? You can't have free speech counter to what you're claiming is your democracy. Free speech is one and the same with democracy. This is the idea, or at least the illusion we tell us we have, or more specifically, a representative government, right? Which we don't have. We're all been a big, massive illusion, as I've shown you 1,000 times over. The recent election, of course, is only really partisan right now, but I've gone back to everyone before it. Left, right, and the whole two-party illusion and how they continue to cheat and lie and steal with their voting machines and everything else. That's not a partisan topic. If you're only pointing to one side in that topic, you're missing half the story. Your government is abusing that situation, all of them. But what he's saying here is your ability to tweet things, even though they're allowable, is a problem because it undermines democracy. You get that? So truthful things, lawful things. That's what it says right here. Lawful, but offensive. Uh-oh. So now your opinion that hurts their feelings is actually now a crime. The way that they're trying to push this. It undermines democracy. Therefore, you're a terrorist. Right? That some people may think, oh, that's stupid. That's hyperbole. Not really, though, is it? We're literally stepping in that direction right now. We're running in that direction. My words about truthful things pointing to peer-reviewed science, they're literally saying is killing people. How is that any different? Your offensive tweets about Canada are now a problem to Canada's government. Would this be happening without the COVID-19 illusion? Maybe. Sure as hell expedited the process, didn't it? Exactly, 180 degrees of centuries of wisdom. Like, really, I don't think it's actually 180 degrees. I think it's the true direction they've always been in. They're just pulling away the veil, right? They're showing their true face now that they feel that this is the end game. And also on that note, this is an actor. I've noticed this a lot. Now that it's becoming like almost trendy to be like, oh, I see the illusion. I'm woke, which is really stupid. Because woke has been completely caught. You know, that used to be something a long time ago. It's more, you know, awake is a better way to say it today. But now they're going, I don't know. I've never been experienced, but, you know, it's a good thing, by the way. It's great. I mean, the more people, well, if it's honest, the more people that are beginning to open their minds. But you shouldn't. The problem is that they're leaning into this in a way that makes it seem like a clownish concept. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm only that because they tell me I'm that. They claim I'm that. So we own that word and we say, screw you. Yeah, we're conspiracy realists. But it's a badge of honor because what they deem a conspiracy theorist today is actually the people completely showing you the reality. And this is even what MIT found in their research about the mask discussion, that the people they claim were crazy anti-science conspiracy theorists were, in fact, the more scientifically sound. That's what they found. But when we see this, just take note of this. And I'm concerned about where this is going, where they're going to try to make this like, so all of a sudden you got the mainstream people that are suddenly like the leading conspiracy theorists fighting the narrative. That's how you co-opt the real effort. That's what they do every time. That's what QAnon, Russiagate, that's what they do. So be very wary of this. Finally, I wanted to show you, oh, this was actually should have been before, but some other points in regard to how you can donate on the website, right? So here we have the boycott PayPal button, which I've updated since we started. And of course that now, which I'll change in later, takes you to buy me a coffee. Then you also have the cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Litecoin. I have Cash App on there, T-Lab Apparel. You can buy a T-Lab t-shirt, which supports both Truth Clothing and The Last American Vagabond. All these things you can use. A lot of different ways you can do. And truthfully, the most important thing you can do is continue to share the work. Continue to read, engage, and share the work. All of it being backed by source material. Every single part of it. Right? This is what they're trying to see. YouTube already censored this last video. Here's every link that I talked about. Every single one. Every single link backing up the studies, the information, what I'm saying, every single part of it, every single part of it. And you'll find all the studies, all the, you know, the actual document from Pfizer, you know, that talks about the issue with reproductivity, the buildup of nanoparticles, lipid nanoparticles in the ovaries, you know, that all that fake news directly from Pfizer's document, you know, how that goes. All fake news, though, right? All of it, every single time. Look at these links. What mainstream article, and now just because I include a bunch of links doesn't mean they're all true. The point is, it's for you to look at and come to your own conclusions about. That's what they're afraid of. All of it. Last point on funding is that underneath every video I do, and I keep forgetting to include this on the website. This is probably the best thing you can do right now. We have a PO box that you can send whatever, you can send a donation, you can send kind words of encouragement, whatever you want. Right now, this seems to be one of the most primary things because people, since YouTube censorship and Patreon, have just started flooding with checks. I get checks every day from this. You guys are the only reason this platform continues. So if you are concerned about Buy Me Coffee or one of the rest suddenly going down, there's your solution. Shoot it our way. But as I said, no matter what, over donations, the content is what's important. I'll keep doing this no matter what. Now, one quick point on foreign policy. Robert just wrote a great article that I really hope you'll read called Israel's Aiding Saudi Arabia and Others to Spy on Human Rights Activists. This is using, we're talking about the NSO group, Pegasus, you know, all these things they've used to spy on journalists that Israel's now openly giving to, you know, authoritarian regimes, and your government doesn't care at all, but except Syria bad guy, Iran bad guy, right? As we're watching the criminals march around, do whatever they want, murder people, occupy countries. No big deal, though, because they're our friends. They're killing people, though, right? They're allowing this to happen. Saudi Arabia, the authoritarian regime, is clearly using this to actually hurt people. But it doesn't matter, though, because they're on the freedom side, right? Go freedom. Bottom line, though, read the article, because this is an interesting topic in regard to the spying aspect and what's being allowed to happen. And also, that was the point I was trying to think about. There's a discussion that he had, well, it might not even be the same article, but there's a discussion right now where Israel is literally holding I don't want to misquote it because I thought it was a different article. Bottom line is Israel's conducting itself in the usual criminal way that it does, and completely taking actions based on personal opinions or the fact that somebody chooses to support the Palestinian cause. So therefore, we're not going to allow these people to be extradited, or however this is working. They're choosing to break the law because they don't like that Mexico supports the Palestinians. It's just completely lawless. They are rampantly lawless, but it doesn't matter because they're on the good guy side, according to the U.S. government, even though they're the ones occupying and murdering and destroying. But as it says here, U.S. forces occupy southwestern Yemeni base. Oh, you mean where they've always been there, occupying, right? And lied to us this whole time, right? That's the truth. We've reported this years ago, how they're working with the UAE torture prisons, and they documentedly had video and pictures of U.S. forces on the ground. And they go, no, that's not our, that's Saudi Arabia. We're over here trying to minimize their problem. It's always been a U.S. war. It has always been a U.S. war. It has always been a U.S. war. As it says, so they leave Afghanistan only to increase their illegal occupation in Yemen. This is a nation-destroying shell game of U.S. government foreign policy carried out under a guise of helping the same nations they're destabilizing. Despicable. And I said, remember when the U.S. government tried to pretend like Yemen was not its war? that it was only there to minimize the child casualties it was complicit in? Well, that cat's out of the bag. One dishonest narrative to the next, while screaming freedom and killing people. What heroes they are. Yemen is the worst humanitarian crisis on the planet, and they just shift their forces over to Yemen? It's disgusting. That's who these people are. Now, let's start with the vaccine discussion on the COVID part of it anyway. Not starting necessarily, but this is a really interesting part. Now, I apologize for all the people out there that don't like the censorship discussion, but this is important to document how this stuff is going. So now let's get into the COVID part. If that's what you're waiting for. I apologize for how long that took. God Wins shares an interesting video. They've changed their tune despite no transparency. Now, I actually completely forgot about this. Do you remember the time very recently where all of this side of the argument was saying, we won't take this thing because Trump did it? If Trump says it's ready, we're not going to take it because we don't think there's enough transparency. Really? Isn't it interesting how we forgot about that? Well, now there's even less transparency and they're pushing it on you. Isn't that funny? Let's take a peek at this. I think this is absolutely hilarious in a very scary way. Because I'm baffled that people cannot see the inherent dishonesty, or rather just choose not to see the inherent dishonesty when this kind of thing is this easy to show.
Say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election.
Understand that they said approved. This is her asking them if the FDA approved this injection, approved it during Trump's administration, would you get it?
Would you get it? Well,
I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
Oh, really? I agree with you, Biden. It's funny how you change your mind after that's exactly what happened. You know, it's funny how that's an acceptable statement when it's about making Trump look bad. And then you literally lie about that when it's your term, except you already said it. So it is the reality in that situation, even within your narrative, right? You stated it. You said it wasn't okay. It didn't go through the proper trials. That's exactly what happened. Now you're pushing it with no transparency. Anybody honest, anybody not lost in the two-party paradigm can absolutely see this.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot?
Exactly.
Who's going to take the shot?
Exactly. Remember when he said that? What changed? You realize it's the same injection that Trump pushed through, that Biden picked up, just like passing over the baton. So when it finally becomes ready, who's going to take the shot? It's a good question, Biden. What changed? The fact that you're there? You didn't change anything.
You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay. And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires an...
Now, I'm sorry to point this out, but this is strange to me. Am I crazy that that looks like a different... I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here. I just genuinely think that Biden looks weird in that picture right there from here. To here. It just looks strange. Like his eyebrows look different. I'm not trying to say he's a different person. I'm just saying something looks off and different there. Just watch the change.
It's okay. And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency.
You know what I think it looks like to me? Almost like they made it like he had a blemish and they like edited it out so his face looked clean or something. It just looks odd to me.
You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation.
Oh, really? Right. So all the people right now, what about the blank inserts and all the fact that they're hiding all that information? They're not really being transparent. And we can't see all that stuff. Right. So Biden is literally telling you that if that's the case, you shouldn't take it. Right. They're not going to let us see everything. So we should be concerned. Well, good. Exactly. So next time they tell you force, well, Biden told me I didn't have to because he said we don't have to if we don't have all the information and they're not being transparent.
So they can look and see. So there's consensus. This is a safe vaccine. If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent.
And that's not what's happening now. Nobody can pretend that it's being transparent. They're hiding information. The FDA in the beginning was pushed out of the table. All right, the way that this went down was very creepy and deceptive from the very beginning. That's why, I mean, the fact that you can right now have something being injected in people while the insert in that box is blank, as we've shown you from many examples. While there are multiple ingredients that have yet to be even verified, according to the MHK, according to the UK, I show you the documents to the fact that these things are not approved, that they're experimental, that they're investigational, according to even Moderna themselves. Right? So here we are, that they haven't been transparent. So what he's telling you is that this is a reason to say, I don't want this thing.
But other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
Exactly.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
But if Donald...
Exactly. So right now, when Biden and Kamala are not giving us information, when we're all asking for information, then we shouldn't have confidence. Right? So the only problem is that they'll argue, yeah, you're giving you all the information. Did you know it's safe and effective and it works forever? We're all safe forever. That's the information. Right? That's all people need to hear if they trust the authority figures. The truth is, we don't have all the information. In fact, they're actively hiding all this from people. The fact that people right now online can tell you that it's approved. The fact that people right now online, somebody I just argued with, can literally laugh at people like they're a bunch of idiots and say, you don't understand vaccine technology. You're such an idiot. And say that this is a weakened virus and that's how it produces antibodies. And you very carefully and simply point out that even right on the punt page of the CDC's part of mRNA, it says very carefully, it does not include weakened virus. And you show them and you go, oh, you dummy, you're wrong. You don't even know. And all of a sudden everything changes. I wasn't even talking about that. You're such a conspiracy theorist, but I literally just showed you were wrong. People don't care about the information. He's telling people they're dumb because something that he was just proven wrong about. So how that person, along with everybody else who believes this stuff, does not have all the information. I doubt most people do right now.
Trump tells us that we should take it. I'm not taking it.
Oh, okay. So if Trump says you should take it, then she's not taking it. She's pretty clear about that, right? I'm not. If Trump says it, I'm not taking it. Oh, look at that. Trump tells followers to get vaccinated. Oh, so he did it. He said take it. So I guess Kamala said that I'm not going to take. Oh, guess not. If you believe that's actually happening, regardless, she, at the very least, made the appearance to get it. Okay, so what changed? If Donald Trump says to get it, I'm not going to get it. He says to get it, she gets it. You see, it's politics, guys. They're lying to you about everything they possibly do. There's no truth in these people's body. They will lie about everything to get their goal, to achieve their goals. That's what when's a politician lying when their mouth is moving? Ha 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 ha. We all joke about how obviously dishonest these people are and then pretend to trust them because I don't even get that. I don't know. Here we are watching her get injected with the very thing that Trump was responsible for making. I'm not a supporter of Donald Trump or anybody in the two-party illusion, but Donald Trump very clearly drove this forward, expedited the process, was bragging about how fast it went. Then suddenly it switched to, no, 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 this was the longest process ever. It was totally safe, even though we called it Operation Warp Speed because you're a bunch of morons, right? It's crazy. We have to see how ridiculous this all is. They were telling you not to get it, and then suddenly when they take place, it's suddenly the safest thing ever and get it. That's ridiculous. Here's the problem today with the two-party illusion is that people are so completely immersed in this and so aggressively, like to the point to where the neighbor who thinks opposite of them, doesn't matter if they were friends before 2016, they're the enemy who's killing people right now. And we're the crazy ones, apparently, for trying to inform you about an objective reality. Here's this person, this terrible person. COVIDiots get what they effing deserve. Right. COVIDiots. You mean people that are blindly trusting what authority tells them, wearing 3 masks and 6 pairs of gloves and hiding in their car? Right. The COVIDiots are the ones that are questioning the narrative. Of course. Showing some, of course, one-sided narrative about only Republicans with guns being the people dying. Even though this completely dense person has no idea about how many people are on both sides of this. How many Democrats I've talked to that completely see this thing as dangerous. How many Republicans who are taking it already. Alyssa has completely trusted the narrative. And she thinks you're the stupid one. Just for on the podcast, it just says, I'll wear a mask when you pry my freedom from my cold dead. And then shows a RIP. Says, brought an assault rifle to a pandemic. An assault rifle. Because you have no idea what you're talking about, which is very clear. Even the person who made the cartoon. But the point is that it's totally normal in U.S. politics to literally wish death on those you disagree with, just like this. But I'm the dangerous one for discussing peer-reviewed science. Make sure that's clear, right? I'm dangerous. I'm killing people as you're threatening death or saying you should die because you disagree with me. Your children should suffocate because, right, we've seen all this during COVID-19. But we are the dangerous ones. Which brings us over to getting into information about the reality here. This is something that was sent to me. Somebody sent this and said, hey, can you verify this? More deaths following vaccine than COVID deaths for the second straight week. And I said, sure, it's not that difficult, actually. Right? So regardless of what you think of this platform, why don't we just take a quick dance over to the data, which is all that matters. And this is why we get censored, because they want you to pretend that I'm going, look at what Rogue Review said. And that's the truth because we're Republican or whatever. That's what they're pretending this boils down to. I saw the YouTube video and they said my Twitter account and blah, blah, blah. They want to pretend like we're a bunch of children that just basically take things at face value because that's what they're doing. That's what their followers are doing. CDC said, and they blindly report it. So they say that's what we're doing, except that's not what we're doing. So we dance over here and look at the actual data. So here is the page, COVID data tracker, starting off, and this is just as of July 16th. So it's, you know, current for the most part. Now what it says down here, and it's all the information, is it says deaths. The current 7-day moving average. So it's not an exact number, but it's a moving average based on the, you know, continuing total. And I'll show you the full graph itself, which right now is 211. It's increased over previous weeks, but it's 167 to 211. So as of July 14th, a total of what they're telling you is over 600,000 deaths have been reported. Even though we know, as a matter of fact, that's completely inaccurate. Not my opinion. The CDC on their website states that 30% possible false positives for PCR tests, which is so stupid that we're still using that, even with their number, even though it's way higher than that. So if we're using a PCR test, their even to their admission is it has any false positives, that means that some of those were false positives, right? That's a no-brainer. Which then means that even if that's even if it's actually 605,904, it means that that number is inaccurate, as a matter of fact. But see, people will just freak out when you make that claim. How dare you, conspiracy theorist? But it's an easily proven fact based on their own reported information, just like every other part of this. As always, the people saying trust the science are the ones that have now gone to literally ignore all the information and trust what the authority says, aka trust the science. The science in capital letters, right? But so if it's a moving average of 211 and the prior 7-day average is 167, you can see clearly that we're not really talking about a high amount per week. That's where you could see it right here. It's pretty much died down. It's off. It's gone. I mean, what I was showing you the day is right now, right this moment, it is lower than it's literally ever been since the beginning of this. And yet they're continuing to scream that we're all going to die and it's all into, that's not happening. Here is the full graph. And you can see what I'm just showing you very clearly is that this line is 1,000, right? This line is right. Zoom in on, there we go. This line is 1,000. You can see that we're talking day to day, April 8th, next week, April 9th, or this is day to day. Now, what it shows you there is the new deaths and the average, 7-day moving average. So you can go through and see these and see how it's changing. Now, right now, we're all the way down here. Now, what we're talking about is these last couple of weeks. Look at how low it is. New deaths. 27. So the bottom line is, you add up the ones from across the week, and it's plainly obvious that the reported amount of deaths to VAERS, which admittedly is unverified because the CDC refuses to verify it, showing you that, and I'll show you the VAERS one before after this as well, we had an increase of almost 2,000 deaths reported last week, or the previous week, last reported week. So knowing as a matter of fact, according to the HHS, Health and Human Services, and Harvard, that that amounts to less than 1% of the total, it's a laugh out loud no-brainer that that's obviously way, way more than the last 7-day average of a couple of hundred, if not even 1,000, because we're talking 2,000 times 100. But even it's not, for even forget the completely verifiable and completely legitimate claim that this is only 1% or less, even taking just 2,000, we can see quite clearly that their claim is correct. That at the very least, this last week, there's more reported deaths after injections than people reporting COVID-19 deaths. Also, remember that they can claim the vaccines causing deaths are unverified because they haven't verified them. But you know what else is also unverified? All of these deaths. Because if what we're doing is saying a PCR test, therefore death, that's an unverified death. That is a completely, there's a better word than unverified. I'm just lost it all of a sudden. But it's right now, it is a number that is based on a tool in this context that is being used improperly. That even the creator said so before he died in a weird way. It's weird timing. But we know as a matter of fact, as we said before, even according to the CDC, but Dr. Scoglio would tell you upwards of 95% false positives. Bottom line is the information on every side using PCR is completely unverifiable. So I think it's a no-brainer to point the fact that we have seen far, far more vaccine deaths reported than we've seen COVID deaths reported over this last week. I don't know why that's not an incredibly huge story. I mean, I do know why, because they're hiding it from you. But if you don't like the Defender, which I don't know why, because they source everything they tell you and they do a great job showing you the information. But of course, because they say things that you don't like because it's hurting your sensitive feelings, you suddenly think they're fake news, which makes you a child. Nearly 11,000 deaths reported. 11,000 deaths. 11,000 reported. And HHS and Harvard would tell you that's only 1% of the total. It's now over 500,000. Not this number is not 500,000, but the newest number I saw was over 500,000 when taken all said and done of just reports. But nobody cares. Way over 20% of the entire system from this one incident that's been going on for decades. But yeah, it's totally a big, big mirage of fake news, right? Well, here is the actual reporting from MedAlerts. This is VAERS information. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Vaccine targets COVID-19. There's a couple of interesting caveats here. One is, this is showing you all the deaths reported after an injection of a vaccine targeting COVID-19. Now, what's interesting, though, I mean, look, this doesn't say COVID, this doesn't say coronavirus. This very clearly says COVID-19. But yet then it has January 8th, 2001, one death. I mean, that's, I mean, for all I, this Bayer system seems to be wonky sometimes. Maybe that's what it is. I'll leave it to the people to continue to research. But here's one from the 2007, 2010, 2014, 2020, January 2020. It's just strange. This could, you could see the title. That's all. This is only supposed to be COVID-19. Very interesting. Anyway, whatever that is, I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but I do find that interesting. It's just starting from 2020 forward, of January 2020, or excuse me, December 2020. Right, we know between this time period, it, basically the beginning of January was when they were already beginning to make these things. And then February forward, I believe, is when they began to actually inject people so we can prove. Going forward, you'll see a dramatic increase in the deaths reported. Just, you know, you can just see the dates going forward. This is all still December. Now we're in 2021. The beginning of 2021, 107 deaths reported. Now, anyway, to do this quickly, the point is you can scroll through these. You see these occasional spikes, but it stays pretty consistent throughout this process. 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, and it kind of goes in these little waves, right? Continuing to stay up. A lot of deaths being reported. But then all of a sudden, it starts to taper down. Now, why is that? May forward. What was happening in May forward? That's right. We were seeing the ebb and flow of this, right? We can see these kind of taper down. Now, I truly believe that this is a lack of transparency, right? I mean, are we really going to pretend like there's only been one reported death? I mean, regardless, I think this is a complete control of the flow of information down here on like these dates as of recently. But bottom line is we're still seeing close to 11,000 total, which is just unbelievable. Now, the other thing I want to show you is other things. Look at this, permanent disability, because we were focusing on deaths, but just take a look at how many permanent disabilities have been reported. 9,274. No, I mean, this is what they're showing you here. Listed under unknown. So I'm actually not sure if that means some other, it's all under COVID-19. But going forward, the point really was the other ones I wanted to show you, such as birth defects. You know, the one that they say there's no evidence to support. Well, there's somebody seems to think so. There's people that seem to think so. 256, it says. In any case, this is all here for you to look at. All the information, always there. And they're acting like this doesn't count. They're acting like that woman whose son died, who tried to report it and is screaming about how nobody's contacting her and nobody cares, that it's her fault. It's in her head or something. Your son died from from your delusion, apparently. It's unverified, though, so it doesn't count. And it's fake news. The fact that your son died is fake news because we haven't verified it. That's what Jen Psaki apparently believes. Disgusting. Now, as always, remember that you are the majority. 49.1% of this country is fully vaccinated, right? That's a big deal. That means that 50.9% of you are unvaccinated, the majority of this country. This went up 0.1% since yesterday. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that they're, whether or not it's accurate, going to kind of slowly roll this over 50. So at the very least, they can say we're now the majority, even though they pretended it didn't matter. But when they get it, they're going to be like, see, now you guys are the fringe. Which is what they're saying anyway. But how can you possibly pretend like we're the problem when we're the majority of this country? How does that even make sense? What happened to democracy? Isn't that majority rule? Apparently not. It's only the government uses that as a means to an end. They don't care what you think. They're going to push this. And just like I said, no was never an answer. Every single person in this country has had 30,000 opportunities to get this thing that they should probably avoid, in my opinion. But as always, it's your right to take, which is pretty clear. But they're saying, even though you've said no, we're going to keep trying to force you. We're going to come back and try to ask you again tomorrow. Do you want it now or do you want it later? No is not on the table. That should be scary. I mean, it is. This is an alarming escalation in their obvious, what they're showing you who they really are. And as I keep pointing out, it's only 13% of the world. 13% of the world, that's it, has been injected with this thing. And you know that they keep telling you that we need the majority of the world until, or otherwise we're still in danger. They've all said that. So if you think for 1 second this is going to stop, you're going to have to, you know, I'll get your injection so we can go back to normal. That's not in the cards, guys. And if you still think that, then you're being childish. You're being naive. 15 days turned into 540 days, didn't it? 15 days to flatten the curve. Here we are. Remember them all scream, just go, just do it. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. Just do it. We can go back to normal a year and a half later, right? Crazy. Now, bringing this over to a very related point, this is what we're continuing to see. The fact that there's an illusion being presented to you and people are hiding that data. The fact that they continue to see vaccinated people being hurt, vaccinated people getting sick, vaccinated people in hospitals, vaccinated people dying. Now, does that mean that there's not people out there unvaccinated? There's not people out there dying that are unvaccinated? I never said that. I don't know. I don't see that information. They keep screaming that, but nobody's provided any data. That's all we go on is the information we can prove. And on top of that, the reality seems to be that there's people dying who have not been injected, who get a PCR test, and they just say they have something, and then they die, and they lame it COVID-19. Now, I mean, that continues to happen. That's always been happening, and it's continuing to happen. They've told you themselves, a positive test at 28 days. That's what the UK is still doing. There's no way that's verifiable. It's just simply based on a test that has a false positive. Now, here's what this article tells you. London hospitals' wall of silence as they refuse to say how many COVID patients are vaccinated. Now, why would that be? Why would they hide how many patients they have who are currently vaccinated, but continue to scream about how many people there that aren't? Because they're trying to, these people have bought into the narrative, apparently, and they've decided that we're not going to tell you who are in here vaccinated because that makes vaccine hesitancy. So, but we will continue to report those that are in here who aren't, because those are the bad, evil ones that are hurting everybody. Because that's totally honest, right? The NHS trusts in South and West London won't reveal how many patients received one or two doses. Totally honest, right? NHS trusts in South and West London, they won't reveal them. How many COVID patients on their wards had either one or two doses of the coronavirus vaccine? Some trusts failed to explain why they wouldn't provide the data, while others claim they couldn't say how many coronavirus patients had been vaccinated because of confidentiality. Now, you've heard this. We've already talked about a similar topic, and I'll show you those same things next. This is not a unique thing. But the interesting part about that is they've now added, well, confidentiality. Okay, so even though you're broadly giving us an overall number and no personal details, why is that confidentiality problem, except the other side's not? Why are we allowed to scream about all these dangerous people being unvaccinated and getting sick, yet you can't tell us the other side? One's illegal and one's okay? It's the same damn thing. This is a choice being made by people who've decided what's right for you without your concern. It says, but public health officials have previously shared data on the numbers of vaccinated and non-vaccinated COVID patients in wards. We've been hearing that the whole damn time, haven't we? So why is it now suddenly a confidentiality problem? Well, you know why. It says all four trusts refused to release identical statements. They said, quote, oh, refused and released identical statements. Quote, we are currently caring for a small number of patients with COVID-19 in our hospitals, far below the high numbers that have previously been seen. So right, by the way, the only thing they say, which doesn't answer the question, is that we're not having a problem like they're saying we are. Far below the numbers that we saw before. And we know these are people in COVID, they're being told they have COVID-19. Most of them, as we've already proven in past circumstances, people that go in with a broken leg get tested for it, and then they're COVID-19. And they get counted as a COVID-19 hospitalization, even though they didn't get hospitalized for COVID-19. And then you read that data and you go, oh, that's somebody who got so sick they were hospitalized, except they didn't though. Same reason that up to 40% of the child hospitalizations were now shown to be false, according to Newsweek. You know why? Because they were there for other reasons and got a test and said they were sick. The same thing, and weren't actually, because they didn't have it, based on a million factors, such as the natural immunity discussion, the fact that they're not in danger from this, the fact that asymptomatic doesn't exist in this context. We've gone over all this on the show and proved to you using peer-reviewed research. Point being, though, this is not a new topic for all those shaking your head going, that's fake news. Here is what we showed you before. This is from April. This is Plymouth hospitals, not the same ones we just showed you. This is a different trust, but it's still the same point. Here's what people asked them. The actual number of deaths within the trust due to COVID-19, right? And they go on to say exactly the opposite of what the media said. No staff have died. Despite their continue to scream how all these staff are suffering and they're heroes and didn't happen that way. Then 60% of them turned down the injection. Suddenly they're not heroes anymore because the media is a bunch of hypocrites. But it says, we hold the information requested, but are unable to provide this. Now, why would that be? The number of patients that did not have an underlying health condition is 5 or fewer. Now, we've already seen this proven, where we've shown you that 99% of people in Israel and elsewhere who actually were sick or actually died from this are people that had up to 7 different comorbidities. 99% of them had at least one. Meaning they had another problem. They either went to the hospital for something different and then were tested and told they had it, or they were already very sick. And if you believe that's what's happening, COVID-19 is added to it, but it wasn't COVID-19 that killed them. It was their pre-existing conditions that made the problem. The point being, if somebody who was healthy had that situation, they would have been fine based on the Swiss policy research information about the fact that this lines up with the perfect life expectancy and on and on and on. 5 or fewer. That's the illusion. And they're telling you, we can't show you. It says the legal note below. The trust can disclose the figures for those who have died. And it says the trust does not hold the information. And this is in regard to how many people were registered to die with their death certificates or on their death certificates. The trust has spoken to the local registry and they have also confirmed they also cannot provide the information requested. How is this even possible unless there's a controlled info? They're trying to keep that information from view. Crazy. The legal notice, it says. Oh, well, I'll jump to the next one. This one was a little more convoluted, but you get the point was what I read up there. The legal notice, basically what they get into is saying that they're required based on law. The law has been created by the government to not disclose this information. Ask yourself why the government would do that. Here's another one. This is a different hospital. These are all in the trusts, right? This is specifically the Plymouth Trust, but it says the trust considers 5 or fewer deaths related to the patients without a pre-existing condition. So it says it does not hold the specific information you've requested. They don't even have it. It says the University Trust is confirming in accordance with Section 1. I'm trying to find that part I'm talking about. But what they're literally telling you, based on the question, my request is for the number of people who have died as a result of COVID-19, not the numbers who died in hospitals in England and either tested positive for COVID-19 or where no positive test resulted was received, but COVID-19 was mentioned on the death certificate. And all they say is 5 or fewer. That's it. 5 or fewer in this entire hospital. But we're supposed to pretend they were overrun, right? We showed you this back then. Here it is, the same thing. These are all different locations. The trust considers 5 or fewer deaths were related to patients who died following a positive test that did not have pre-existing conditions. Oh, right here. It says the University Hospitals Plymouth Trust takes the view that the actual number requested is too low to be disclosed. That's crazy. The information is considered exempt from further supply in accordance with this act that the government passed. So they pass an act that says we're able to hide data from you if it's lower than a certain number. Why does that make sense? Because they're trying to lie to you. Here's another one. The trust considers 5 or fewer. Same thing. Over and over and over. So when we're seeing the story, recognize it's not a new story. And they're hiding information. Now, why would they hide from you how many people right now are in there that are vaccinated? Because they're trying to control the flow of information around the narrative which they're trying to spin. Now, this was shared with me right before I went live. This is as of June 23rd from last month. Doctors testify over decisions made while COVID-19 battered Quebec nurses' home. This is crazy stuff. This is literally talking about, did I skip one? Yeah, I did. Oh, this was the first one. This was June 16th. Quebec nursing home often gave morphine rather than treat COVID-19 patients. This is not a conspiracy theory. Now, imagine if we came out with this story during this whole process before this talked about it. And we said, we think this doctor is giving them morphine. We would be called conspiracy theorists. The mainstream media would laugh and say, how dare you insult the credibility of these heroes? And then it comes out that it's true, just like everything else. Not always, but like everything else so far in this narrative. But says two physicians made decisions that may have hastened the death of one resident and others left struggling to breathe. You mean like plenty of other places we've shown you, like in Germany where they dosed all these people with and 8 of them died who all had disabilities, on and on and on. How about 60% of people in England who died, they told us, all had learning disabilities? Because that totally adds up, right? Something's wrong. Questions about her decision to prescribe morphine to a patient who later died, and they addressed concerns about her decision to administer oxygen to six patients using a low-flow method that provided them with less air than they would have received by other methods. So you're in a position where the objective is to give them enough air because they're struggling to breathe, and you give them the thing that has low flow. Yeah, that seems like an accident to multiple people. The inquest is looking at the impact of COVID-19 on Quebec's long-term care facilities, where more than 4,000 seniors died in the first wave of the virus last year, just like New York. Totally coincidence, though, that they made the same exact problem choices that led to the same exact thing that bolstered the numbers in the same exact way. I wonder how many others that we aren't seeing. Now, here's another interesting story. This is July 7th. You're going to love the way they frame this. Almost half of Nuneaton Hospital's COVID-19 patients have not had the vaccination. Almost half. You know another way to frame that? More than half of people with COVID-19 in this hospital have been vaccinated. Now, why wouldn't that be the headline? Why wouldn't the headline be the obvious thing? That the majority of people who are sick in this hospital have been vaccinated. Well, you know why, because that's not the fun that when you say that you get attacked, even though it's true. So you frame it the other way. You say almost half of them haven't been. Oh my gosh. They're putting everyone at risk. But what about the majority who are there with the vaccine? So how can you argue that they're putting them at risk if the ones who got it are still there? This is the stupidest thing, but this is everywhere. Here's what it says. They write it this way. Almost half of the patients in this hospital with COVID-19 have not had their vaccine. Literally, it goes on to say, prompting a plea for people to ensure they get the jab. Seriously? So you're sitting next to people who have gotten the injection, who are sick with COVID-19 in the hospital even. So not just sick, but hospitalized. And understand, that's not a PCR test. That's people that got the injection and then got sick enough to go to the hospital. Okay, so you're talking about people who, and that's the majority. Then next to them, there's people over here that didn't get it that are also sick. And all they can say is, you need to get the injection that they got. The really sick ones over there next to you. I mean, how is this even possible? It's so comical, but almost it's macabre. You know, macabrely comical. It's alarming, but you almost have to laugh about it because it's that stupid. It says George Eliot Hospital has confirmed to Coventry Live, of course, Coventry Live, that there it has been a fall in the number of COVID-19 patients. Yeah, well, doesn't that seem to contradict what the alarmist tone here and what the media is screaming? Yeah, everything is going down, not because of the injection. That's the important part, because this dramatic increase was going down directly against the administration of this. I have to show you the graph. Where was that? Oh, I'm not going to take a second to find it. Anyway, the bottom line is we saw the increase. Again, just remember, it's always based on their numbers, based on PCR tests that we can't verify, but taking it at face value, the increase in what we're told are cases. Right? Then we saw it immediately fall. We've all seen the big graph. We all see how it dropped long before the COVID-19 injections were being administered. At the very least, a very slim amount of people. Then you saw a spike again, right around the time when it was picking up the administration of the injection. Then it tapered down again. Now that is exactly what you see in pretty much any vaccine administration throughout history, which you could make the argument is that was already on a natural decline and the vaccine increased the problem and then it continued to naturally decline. But now we're seeing a cover up of all the vaccine induced problems that they're continuing to not report, that nurses are hiding from people, and that they're hiding with a cycle threshold on the test they're using. This is a plain as day manipulation about what's happening. Now it says George Eliot Hospital confirmed that they went down. Now it says yesterday, July 6th, the number stood at 12, but now it's fallen to 10. Now it says, but of the 10 who are still needing care, almost half, four of them, so 40% of them, have not had a single vaccination. So only 40%. However, one of the patients is partially vaccinated and five had both doses. Otherwise, you could state that as 60% of them have had injections. 50% of them had all of them. Hospital bosses are keen to stress the importance of people protecting themselves from hospitalization through the vaccine. You have 50% fully vaccinated in the hospital. yet you're screaming that people need to get the injection to protect them from hospitalization. How is this happening? It's just, I want to laugh out loud. It says the spokesman said, quote, vaccination is the best way to protect yourself, your family, and friends from coronavirus and serious illness, right? But it doesn't stop transmission, and I doubt it stops serious illness, as we're watching 60% of the people who are in the hospital have had injections. Quote, we strongly urge people to take up their offer of their first and second vaccination. Just doubling, tripling, quadrupling down. Madness, guys. Madness. As Gareth Eich points out, conspiracy theorists were right after all. Who would have thunk it? Here's what he has to say. Let me see. I think I might have had that. There's so many of these, guys. There are so many of these where they are telling you now what they said was fake news moments ago.
I've noticed now that by the end of September, when all over 18s will have had their chance to be double jabbed, we're planning to make full vaccination the condition of entry to nightclubs and other venues where large crowds gather.
So full vaccination, which we literally just proved 1,000 times over, doesn't stop transmission. Right. So again, within their narrative. So if it doesn't stop transmission, 50% of those people were in the hospital for fully vaccinated. They were clearly they can still transmit this. And that's even based on their own information. They'll tell you it doesn't stop transmission. It reduces symptoms. So how exactly does those two injections stop anything? Right. I mean, that's based on what they're saying. How does that even add up? It only adds up when you realize that it's get the injection at all costs. There's far more happening here than protecting you from something. But on top of that, they're telling you that the test no longer counts. Explain that one to me. What about natural immunity? They don't care, right? So natural immunity, which we'll show you again, is what most people have in this country, according to all the reputable scientists, scientific research, NIH, BMJ, all of them, even though they don't care about that. Nature, whatever, doesn't matter. But they don't care. So natural immunity doesn't even play a part. Has to be two injections, just like what Israel did. I just told you this the last show, because it's not about your safety.
Proof of a negative test will no longer be enough.
How does that make sense? Now, not only does that show you that the proof, the PCR test they're using is not definitive, which we've always told you, otherwise that would count. Unless, you know, the point being is that just get the injection at all costs, which is what it is. If you have a test that you just took and it says you don't have it, how is that not acceptable? That's, I mean, arguably, again, within their narrative, I do not trust the PCR test. That is more sound than the injections based on their narrative, right? So we're watching the injections continue to spread, but your test means you don't have anything. And that's not, and what's better is the thing that we can continue to spread. Clearly, there's more going on here than what they are telling you, and I don't know why that's not catastrophically apparent.
I should serve notice now that by the end of September, when all over 18s will have had their chance to be double jabbed, we're planning to make full vaccination the condition of entry to nightclubs and other venues where large crowds gather. Proof of a negative test will no longer be enough.
Crazy. So now there are any gathering bars. We just talked about this in another location as well. It's all coming your way. This was always the point. And remember when this was fake news? That's the point. That's what Gareth was saying. Remember when this was fake news? As he says, conspiracy is right again. This was laughable fake news. Complete, like, laugh out loud. CNN, Fox News, Washington Post, they all had their little opinion writers and said, oh, these guys are so stupid. They're so ignorant. They're spreading misinformation. And they just run to town. And now it's literally happening exactly like we said it would. But we're still fake news, crazy anti-science. Right, exactly. It's nonsense. And the worst part of it is these people know it. That means they're a bunch of dishonest liars as well. They're part of this illusion, or they're really, really stupid. Crazy. And here's the reality, the contrast, right? So he's going, get the injection and you get to go back to doing these things, except the fact that that's not what's going to happen. As we all know, and we keep telling you, you may think that's what's going to happen and you may blame the anti-vaxxers for not allowing it to happen, but they're going to point to something else, monkeypox or whatever they're going to make, or, oh, climate change. It's going to be mask lockdown, same thing back into the shape. And why do I know that? I don't know that. My opinion. And I've always stated that. But I'm pretty certain that's what's going to happen. And we've been pretty obviously right this entire time. Based on what they've done before, what the narrative is, what we see their objectives are, it's not hard to figure out, guys. I could be wrong, but our track record's pretty damn obvious. But as we just showed you the other day, here's three Democrats, fully vaccinated, and they're all sick with COVID-19. Okay, so how does that make sense, Boris? You're telling me those people who are fully vaccinated can go right back in, but they just got sick. Now, this obviously may be vaccine stuff, or literally could be that the spike protein is causing disease, like the Salk Institute pointed out. Any number of examples, but the bottom line is, which by the way means that it can be spread, disease, transmissible. But it just shows you that it's nonsensical what they're doing, and it's all about injecting. I showed you, I'm going to briefly go over these again. Mike Matisau, poker player. Pretty absurd that I've left the house 6 times in 18 months and I'm fully vaccinated and I get COVID. He has friends that have never been vaccinated and they go out every day since and they're fine. You know what that shows you? That the injection is causing a problem. Now, it doesn't mean proves that, but based on everything else we've shown you, that's what's happening. And it's very, very, very clear. We just talked about this too. And this is just his tweet about it, but you can look, it's been everywhere. A fully vaccinated prime minister who had COVID last year, so already has immune before getting vaccinated. And I'm so glad he pointed that out. That's why I'm showing his tweet, because I'm going to show you that next. And that's a huge point. The majority before COVID-19 had pre-existing antibodies. Uninfected, a majority in this peer-reviewed randomized controlled trial, uninfected adults already showed pre-existing antibody reactivity against SARS-CoV-2, which, by the way, should make you question how that's even possible. But regardless, the point is that that's been there from long before, and we know that everybody else, including the NIH and the WHO and Nature and all the rest of them, have all told you that you have natural immunity if you've had it and it lasts the rest of your life, most likely. You know, that anti-science NIH, you know, the places we're supposed to listen to, yet we pretend like that's not happening because we don't like it. But we're crazy, right? So what he's telling you is a fully vaccinated prime minister who had both injections, who already had COVID, meaning based on what the NIH, WHO, Nature, and everybody else has said, based on their random controlled trial, their peer-reviewed research, it means that he had immunity, right? And it says, so he had no symptoms, and now he is self-isolating after being a contact of someone with a positive test. How does that make sense? Two injections, previous immunity, no symptoms, but you get it. It's because you're creating the illusion and you're telling people that you're never safe, no matter what. Now, there's other examples of this that continue to go out. It's outrageous. This is from Israel that we keep telling you. Natural immunity. Natural infection versus vaccination, which is gives you more protection. Nearly 40% of new COVID patients were vaccinated, compared to 1% who had been infected previously. Think about that. 7,700 new cases of the virus have been detected during the most recent wave starting in May, but only 72 have confirmed cases were people known to be previously infected, less than 1%. This is a no-brainer. Roughly 40% of new cases, 3,000 patients. It says, with a total of almost 840,000 Israelis known to have recovered from the virus, 72 people have been reinfected. That's a 0.0086%. However, Israelis who were vaccinated were actually 6.72 times more likely to get infected after the shot than the natural infection. Now, be clear about this. We're not saying people who are simply unvaccinated. Even though that's a same discussion that we've had before, and we'll point to it in 1 second. But in this specific context, what they're telling you is people who have already been sick with this, or by the way, sick with the cold from before, or any other reasons they already have pre-existing antibodies. But regardless, again, that's an important point here. What they're telling you is that they are not in danger. So when you consider natural immunity, that means everybody. So what are we talking about here? This should end the conversation. And what they're telling you here is it's about the Delta variant, right? They're saying, no, it's only people who are vaccinated that are struggling here. The people that have already went through this are fine. So when you consider that reality, this is just the other article from the Jerusalem Post, more than 1,000 Israelis test positive for COVID, despite being in fact vaccinated, is the point. It's weird. They're saying vaccines significantly less effective against Delta variant, but the people who are unvaccinated are seemingly faring completely fine. Well, most COVID deaths in England now are in the vaccinated. That's from the conversation, right? This is, where was the date again? July 14th. More deaths in England are now in the vaccinated. Like, what are we talking about here? But going back to the point, where was it? 72 cases. Oh, we're down here. 6.72 times more likely. But we're talking about in regard to the natural immunity versus the, that's what it was. So basically, going forward, I keep saying that, and there's a point I forget about. My point is that, I'll jump back to that, is that if we have the natural immunity, as it's telling you, and I've made this many times, that Nature, one of the most respected publications in scientific, most respected scientific publications in May 27, 2021, told you that you probably have them for a lifetime if you've been sick. The WHO telling you that upwards of 99% of those people who have been sick have antibodies that could last a lifetime. And the NIH telling you as well on this January 2021 that the lasting immunity. And then the point is pre-existing from before. Okay, so the majority of people in the country, the U.S. has 160 million people have been infected, are already having antibodies. And a majority outside of that already had pre-existing antibody reactivity. So dancing back to this point, if that's the case, and the majority already has immunity, then the only people at risk right now are the people who are vaccinated. You know why it's important? Because it seems that the injection is what's causing some kind of problem. And you know what that means? Antibody-dependent enhancement, pathogenic priming, exactly what all the experts warned about who were speaking, like James Lyons-Weiler and all these different people that told you the problem. Now, is this my subjective opinion and conspiracy theory as I'm pointing to random controlled research? I mean, this is the problem. How is the WHO statement that most people have antibodies fake news? How is that misinformation? It becomes misinformation when I combine it with real world data that shows you that means something. That's when that becomes, quote, fake news to the people trying to control the narrative. I find that to be so powerful, and I hope that's important. Now, this is the other point. As Dr. Usur is pointing out, can anyone explain why these numbers in yellow are virtually the same? Now, I just showed you yesterday on previous shows, the day before yesterday, the website this came from, and I believe it was down here anyway. This is on the Israeli website. You can look at it right now. And what it's showing you, as you can see, that the numbers of vaccinated versus unvaccinated are unbelievable. Look at the 20 to 29 group. These are confirmed cases between June 27th and July 3rd. That's it. 95 in that group are vaccinated, 25 unvaccinated, 30 to 39, 133 of those cases are vaccinated, 33 unvaccinated, and on and on. 40 to 49, 175 versus 33, 50 to 59, 127 versus 18. This is ridiculous. How are we pretending that this is some kind of an unvaccinated epidemic? We're staring at the obvious real world data predominantly. And then this is the numbers. These are the numbers. Percent of cases vaccinated. 20 to 29, 79% of cases are in the vaccinated. 30 to 39, 80% are in the vaccinated. 40 to 49, 84%. In the 90 plus, the group we're supposed to be most concerned about, 100% of the people who are sick are coming from the vaccinated group. But we're the ones hurting people by showing them the real world data. This is why people who are unvaccinated, who probably dealt with this before, if that's really what's happening, and had something mild to pass through them, don't even know what's going on, are going, I'm completely fine. And Mike Matisau, who went and got the injection, is going, what the hell? Why am I the one sick? He's over there fine. Because we all had immunity and you took something that caused a problem. That's my opinion. Look at the real world data. To finally end on this, as people are probably continuing to scream that don't believe this, it's all fake news. Well, here's the Business Insider. One of the, you know, classic anti-fake news science, right? Anti-vax, fake news science. Just mixing it all together. Almost half of UK COVID infections are in people who are at least partially vaccinated. That's not confusing, is it? But the cases were milder, though. That's trying to lean in. Well, but it's no, don't worry. It's like, of course. Why don't you report the facts, Business Insider? Because they know that they're going to get less. It'll take the edge off if you try to make an argument for why it's not that big a deal, though. They're flat out telling you that almost half of the people in the UK who have infections are people who are at least partially vaccinated. It says almost half, the same thing. The virus seems to be running out of people who do not have immunity, the study says. Well, that's interesting. Does that seem to paint a picture of some crazy, dangerous epidemic of unvaxxed? No, it's painting a picture of a dying out thing that's finally doing so because it was allowed to run its course instead of all the things we did. You can disagree with that all you want. The bottom line is, it's very obvious that the people who are vaccinated are not completely protected at the very least, or protected at all, for that matter. Now, to go into some of the things that are happening, to wrap this up, you know, this is, as they're telling you that this has to happen and that we're all crazy, we're killing people, this continues to be disregarded. A healthy Michigan boy, 13 years old, dies in his sleep 3 days after receiving the second dose of COVID vaccine as the CDC launches an investigation. Right. So the CDC normally launches an investigation like this when it's totally unverified and not provable, right? The CDC is not launching investigations into all the other things reported. I've proven that to you. I've proven it to you three different times. The people that right now are screaming that we're not being, no one's caring. I haven't gotten a response. This has been months. Somebody died in the beginning of 2020. Haven't heard back. Haven't gotten an email. Nobody cares. They're doing an investigation because this is getting crazy. If they're even going to look at it. A healthy 13-year-old boy dies in his sleep, no discernible reason, and they just try to pass it off as something else. Complains of a stomach ache. An autopsy was performed, but the cause of death is yet to be exactly, because you cannot find these things typically in an autopsy, right? This is what we already talked about. Even other doctors have admitted this. At the end of the day, if you do an autopsy and you find a blood clot, well, you can't prove that the vaccine caused it, can you? That's what they're going to do. They're going to say, well, we don't know for sure. That's every single time. Now, what the chief medical examiner of the hospital we talked about in the past said on the record was that if you don't find a discernible reason, it's a good indication the vaccine caused it. But he was one of the only ones that said that, and everybody else pretends that's not the case. Sickening. Now, here is the CDC director making a claim, and we'll show you, this came from Reddit. This person, Max the Great, shared this. Claims that adolescents are 300% more likely to get myocarditis from the vaccine. Latest claims means, CDC director's claim, latest claim means adolescents are 300% more likely to get myocarditis from the vaccine than what our CDC report is the likelihood being unvaccinated getting hospitalized. Here, just read this. This is more easy to understand. CDC director, a bold-faced liar, obviously, in my opinion, it says it appears the CDC director is lying to the American people about the impact COVID vaccines have on 12 to 17-year-olds. Here is what she's saying. To put this into perspective, if we vaccinate 1 million 12 to 17-year-olds, by the way, all of which are at completely no risk of what's happening here based on their information, but let's inject them with something that we're still deciding is safe. Perfectly makes sense. Totally safe, right? But not safe because we haven't proved that, but go ahead and take it because of something you're not at risk from. Remember Peter Doshi, the senior editor of the British Medical Journal, just wrote a thing saying that these benefits are hypothetical. One of the senior editors of the British Medical Journal, but we're all crazy though, right? It says we could see 30 to 40 mild cases of myocarditis. 1 million, she says. In the same 1 million, though, through vaccination, we avoid 800 cases of COVID-19, all of which are not threatening to them, if they even get it, if that's a PCR test. 300 hospitalizations, 5 ICU, just 1 death. None of that's proof. If you're talking about, to get into the percentages from the website, that's completely ridiculous, and that's what they're pointing out. The benefits far outweigh the risks. Oh, you mean the risks that we haven't defined because it's an emergency use authorization and we haven't proved it safe? Yes. The benefits that haven't been fully defined because we haven't proven them because it's still, yes. That's such a dumb statement, but they keep saying it. Now, the point is, just in the interest of time, you can read this for yourself. This is where we got it from, and I'm glad this is being discussed, and they break down all of the information, but here's the main point. The Reddit post is pointing to what it actually says on the CDC website. Right. So here's what the website says. So remember, she's saying 1 million will amount to 30 to 40 cases. That's it. Okay. Let's see what the website says while she's saying that. COVID-19 adolescent hospitalization rates from COVIDnet, which I'll show you what that is next, which is very weird, peaked at 2.1 for 100,000. In early January 2021, declined to 0.6 in mid-March, rose to 1.3 in April. Among hospitalized adolescents, nearly one-third required intensive care unit admission, 5% required invasive mechanical ventilation, which Again, I can't believe we're still doing that based on the obvious reality. No associated deaths occurred. Now it says, wait a minute, don't think these numbers add up. 12 to 17-year-old COVID hospitalizations per million. Walensky's claim is vaccinations could avoid 200 hospitalizations per million. CDC's report puts hospitalizations at 21 per million in January and went down to 13 per million in April. Walensky's myocarditis data means that adolescents are 50 to 300 times more likely to get myocarditis from the vaccine than what our CDC report is likelihood of being hospitalized from COVID. It's frustrating. And this is, think about the reality of when we talked about what specifically, I think it was at the time, Kamala Harris talking about how there's no evidence of a lot of things we're pointing out. And then we literally go to where it says that and say, she just said, this isn't true. Here's the information. And yet people spread it. And that's not misinformation, though. The literal opposite of exactly what the truth is stated on their website being spread by people on Twitter because Kamala Harris said it is totally not misinformation. But when we point to peer-reviewed science that gets shared because they don't like it, that's dangerous misinformation. Got it. Now, here is COVIDNet, something that they're using, by the way, to evaluate this information, which I've never heard of until I read this. Well, let's find out what it is. This is all the way back from November 2020. COVIDNet. A tailored deep convolutional neural network designed for detection of COVID-19 cases from chest x-ray images. Oh, you mean chest x-ray images like the ground glass opacity thing that we already showed you was happening long before COVID-19, right around Fort Detrick that no one wants to talk about? I wonder why that's not being talked about. Anyway, the point is this last point here that's very interesting to me on exactly what this is. That lines up with what's being built around us right now. Come on, where is it? There it is. Conclusion. In this study, we introduced COVIDNet, a deep convolutional. Okay, that's weird. I feel like I was reading it wrong before. Deep convolutional neural network design for the detection of COVID-19 cases. Moreover, we investigated how COVIDNet makes predictions using an explainability method, makes predictions about what's going on, about whether you're sick, basically. So now they're using something. Well, I wonder what they would use to make predictions about whether you're going to get sick, whether you are sick, whether your chest x-ray means that you're going to be sick. Medical pre-crime, right? An attempt to gain deeper insights into critical factors associated with COVID cases, by no means a production-ready solution. Oh, great. So you mean right before this year, you said it wasn't ready, but now it's already being used and determining this without our knowledge? That makes perfect sense. But where was it here? Hold on. That's strange. I know I had that highlighted. Well, whatever. So it says a number of artificial intelligence systems based on deep learning have been proposed and results have shown to be quite promising. Artificial intelligence. That was my point. So this is an artificial intelligence. As Whitney Webb and I've pointed out in the show before, it's only as good as the data that's inputted into it. So it's easily manipulatable. But the bottom line is this is a predictive model. And so using this based on x-rays to predict what's happening based on artificial intelligence. This is not medical. This is the new direction they want you to think is medicine. And this is what they're doing with everything. This should scare you. This is not where we should be going because we're very clearly showing you how completely corruptible this already is and can be and is. Now, to finish off this point I showed before, which is really upsetting to me, this video of this person jamming this thing down this child's throat, into her brain. That, look how far that's going into her. Like this, that is too far for a normal person. You know, we've already seen these tests. I won't keep making you watch that. But we've already seen adults who've had like leakage in their brain because of these tests. It's happened more than once. So you're telling me you're going to put it up to as far as you can go in a baby? It just makes me sick. Now, also ask yourself why in the world that's acceptable. Why that makes sense. Nobody's explained to me why we ever had to jam this thing back to your blood-brain barrier ever. Especially since right now they're doing tests that can swab the inside of your nose and bolt their PCR test. What are we talking about here? What was happening? What's still happening? And why is it happening to that baby? As I said, how is this even remotely acceptable? There is no justifiable reason to do that. the blood-brain barrier. So why was it then, and why was it now? Like I guess I just said that. On newborns, no less. I believe it's human experimentation. I really do. My opinion, completely my opinion. But nobody's been able to explain for me why that was necessary, why that kind of test was necessary in the beginning. Except there's a lot of weird crossover with the blood-brain barrier, with nanotechnology, with what's being used in the injection, whether or not it gets to the back of your brain. A lot of this was happening and it's being discussed. I've showed you the Dr. Pilevsky video where he literally talks about nanoparticles building up in your brain and we're wondering what they're doing. We should be asking these questions. But finally, somebody sent this to me and this is what's so incredible. So as everyone in the chat wants to tell me how dumb I am for not realizing how normal this is, guess what? Here's what the CDC says exactly about this kind of specimen collection. And guess what they're not supposed to do? However, this is the nose swab. However, such specimens cannot be collected from infants. Well, that's interesting. I wonder why. I wonder why then it's happening. Aren't we supposed to trust the CDC? Isn't this this is their information, right? So you can't collect it from infants using this exact process, but they're collecting it from infants using this exact process. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. But you can see clearly, guys, that this is why we're being censored, you know, because we continue to just completely break down the illusion. We're showing you this stuff. And I mean, how can I possibly call that misinformation when I'm pointing to what the CDC says about this? Now, on top of that, ask yourself, let's say I was wrong. Let's say I misunderstood it. Am I still not allowed to talk about that? When did we not allowed to be wrong anymore? Oh, that's right. When COVID-19 started. That should scare you. Because now we're at a point where your opinion is not okay. You have to check with the government. Are we allowed to talk about this thing? Oh, okay. Well, because we don't want to accidentally kill people because our narrative leads to information that confuses people, that makes them make choices of their own volition that lead them in a direction that had nothing to do with me. But yeah, so okay, so we'll just not talk about things until the government says it's okay. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like an authoritarian situation. And that's what we've always been in here. And we're continually seeing it escalate right now. That's been off the whole time, it looks like. We're going to see this continue to grow. It's happening in front of us right now. And the most important thing we can do is not stop fighting. We need to continue to push this out. We need to continue to share it in every possible way. And as I said from the beginning, if you want to continue to support this channel, there's plenty of ways to do so. But the most important thing you can do is continue to share the work, because that's what they're trying to stop. Obviously, this can't continue without your financial support. But if you're right now weighing two options, am I going to share this content or am I going to give Ryan a dollar? Share the content. Share the content. Push it out there. That is all that matters, because we're only doing this to fight what's happening, to break through the propaganda. I mean, it's just like when we were watching the Iraq war thing, the Iraq war situation happen, and people were screaming that there were no WMDs and this was all a big illusion and they were doing this illegally and on and on and on. And what did they call them? Oh, that's right. Conspiracy theorists. They call them a bunch of, Saddam apologists or whatever. And now that's a Saad apologist. Now, it's always something. And it's always always hyperbole. It's always a very stupidly reductive narrative that's not really based in the facts. And they push it. And what happened? All the people they call conspiracy theorists were right. And are they now being heralded as the truth? No, they're the ones that got pushed even further down. All the ones that screamed the fake news about the Iraq war are now the highest in the mainstream media. All the people, like Jesse Ventura, for instance, who was on it and telling you what happened. He got pushed down and relegated to places they didn't want him to be, or they outside of their mainstream sphere, which is probably best for him anyway. How can we not realize that? How can we not see how relevant this is to what we've already been through? And on that note, let's go ahead and end with an exact situation where this has already happened, as I've played many times before. So those of you who have seen it, feel free to take off. We're going to wrap up here with the swine flu deception so you can see how this has happened before. And by the way, the 76, I believe, 2000, I'm blanking on it, 7, I forget when the H1N1, but both of them have been labeled fake pandemics by the HHS and by the British Medical Journal. I've shown you both those documents. They've openly stated that these were pandemics of fear driven by influenza experts with agendas in the mainstream media, except now that's ridiculous. I can point to that and say that's what happened then, and you're still called fake news, even though British Medical Journal said that's what happened, even though the HHS, Health and Human Services, called out the CDC and said, they're lying about the numbers. I'll show you the documents. I mean, since we're here and we're wrapping up, it probably, if I forget where they are exactly, I won't. Actually, I think I know where they are, right here. Here we go. I'll include these for you because I always do try to include anything I just casually reference off the top of my head. I don't know if you can see these tabs that I'm pulling up, but I've got so many things saved in here. But, oh, that's right. I forgot about that. I do have this archived. I'll find it and bring it back. Isn't it funny that they just happened to revamp their website only on that one page? Because if you go to any other page, it's weird how everything else still works, right? Oh, revamping our website on that one page of things we don't want you to see. I'll include that. But here's the British Medical Journal, where it talks about the lies about this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I'll include, but oh, you guys can't see it, but I'll include these so you guys can see as we finish up the show here. Bottom line is, it's obvious that there's a deception happening here, and we need to continue to push. We need to continue to realize that they are going to lie. They're going to misrepresent the situation. And as we point at it, they're going to call you a conspiracy theorist because it's happened every single time before this. Have faith in the community that we have created and the fact that people around us are going to continue to push the truth out, and their illusion they're jamming in front of us is not the truth. You are the majority. Trust it. Know it. Because there's 51% of people in this country that are standing next to you. Thank you for continuing to fight. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
The swine flu scare of 1976. That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed. There had been cases in Australia that were reported by the press, by the news media. There were cases in...
None confirmed. Did you ever uncover any other outbreaks of swine flu anywhere in the world?
No.
Now, nearly everyone was to receive the shot in a public health facility where a doctor might not be present. Therefore, it was up to the CDC to come up with some kind of official consent form, giving the public all the information it needed about the swine flu shot. This form stated that the swine flu vaccine had been tested. What it didn't say was that after those tests were completed, the scientists developed another vaccine, and that was the one given to most of the 46 million who took the shot. That vaccine was called X-53A.
Was X-53A ever field tested?
I can't say. I would have to...
It wasn't.
I don't know.
Well, I would think that you're in charge of the program.
I would have to check the records. I haven't looked at this in some time.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? There's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did?
No.
Do you know Michael Hatwick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Hatwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hatwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
By review of the literature.
So you told your superiors, the men in charge of the swine flu immunization program, about the possibility of neurological disorders.
Absolutely.
What would you say if I told you that your superiors say that you never told them about the possibility of neurological complications?
That's nonsense. I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination. That simply is not true. We did know that.
I've said that Dr. Hatwick had never told me of his feelings on this subject.
And he's lying.
I guess you would have to make that assumption.
Then why does this report from your own agency, dated July 1976, list neurological complications as a possibility?
I think the consensus of the scientific community was that the evidence relating neurologic disorders to influenza immunization was such that they did not feel that this association was a real one.
You didn't feel it was necessary to tell the American people that information?
I think that over the years we have tried to inform the American people as fully as possible.